B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Yeah. Lurch Stevens. Mike Missinelli. Mike, 97.5, we live. It's like coming to you live from City Line. You know the time. 2 to 6, Mikey Miss. 97.5, no matter where you at, tune into the show. I'm telling you, television, telephone, radio, let's go. He got the city on lock, and it ain't a question. Been on top a long time, and he's still flexing. Came a long way from the barrel that raised him, but never forgot where he came from. Cause he taking your calls, talking about y'all, talking about life, man, he talk about it all. Smooth on the mic like a fadeaway from Jordan. He turned into a beast when that lightsaber caught him. Top shelf, A1 guest around the globe. Best interviews and topics you didn't know. Sparring with callers, back and forth like a Google chat. His resume speaks for itself, yeah, you can Google that. There he is, it's the man you've been waiting for. The sports talk author Fonzarelli, Mike Missinelli. Yeah. Mike Missinelli.
Yeah. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a Friday. Chill Friday. It's Memorial Day weekend. Happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Let's not lose sight of what Memorial Day really means. I know we look at it like it's another holiday weekend where we go on the barbecues, but there is a deeper, solemn meaning to Memorial Day with all the great people that have served this country who have passed. So let's keep that in mind as we do today's show. Welcome. This is a... the show we're going to have fun with because, listen, people are going down the shore. You might be in traffic right now going to the shore. You might be already there watching it on TV. It's not that great of a day down there. But we're going to have some fun because we're going to take inventory today on what the state of Philadelphia sports is. I like to do this every once in a while to generate some hope and some excitement in the future for people. It seems like that we've had a long drought here to feel good about the state of Philadelphia sports. Now, sometimes you can look at a team that's on the on-deck circle and you know they're going to be good. Our only salvation right now, as far as I can read it, is whether the Eagles can be as good as we think they're going to be. And whether the Eagles can actually be a contender next year. Whether they can win the division. They, I think, offer the most hope right now. It used to be the Sixers. But let's face it, the Sixers have taken a hit. So I want to go through each franchise, and I want to get your assessment on what you think we have right now in state of Philadelphia sports. And we can start with the Phillies, who win a game yesterday. It staves us off. Had they lost that game, obviously it would be a different conversation today. But the win-loss thing for me... like that game last night, although it was nice to watch, it was a really nice performance by Aaron Nola. It was a shame he couldn't get the complete game. But you know that the Phillies are one of these teams that they're not going to get, okay, that's a good moment, but it's not going to last. Because they're gonna lose some games here. They got the Mets coming up. They've got some tough games to play, Giants and all that stuff in the next couple of weeks. So it's going to stop us in our tracks from feeling good about what Aaron Nola did last night. And what is the overall future for the Phillies? And I started to think about it last night as I'm watching the game, and I'm going, you know, if this team does not deliver on what they were supposed to deliver, which was, at the very least, excitement. We thought we were going to get a season of excitement with hitters and a lot of runs, going to the park, being fun with home runs and doubles. We're not getting that. So I don't know how much fun the Phillies are going to be if they hover around 500 and don't give you that extra pizzazz. And where are they now? Well, they've got a lot of guys under big contracts. And they're way over the luxury tax. And it's not a team you can look at and go, boy, this is a team that you know you can really believe in because next year is going to grow and they're going to be a good team for a lot of years. I don't know that we can say that about the Phillies because of what they don't have in their system. So what you see here is what you get. These guys are going to be here now. Real Muto's going to be here with a long-term expensive contract. Harper's going to be here with a long-term expensive contract. Castellanos, Schwarber. Those guys are all going to be part of this fiber. So where could there be changes? Where could there be a freshness? Boehm, Stott, I guess. Is that enough? So where are the Phillies at this point? I'm seeing a Philly team that unless they exceed my expectations to be a real team and not just a team that looks like they can hit, I'm not seeing any bright future in the next few years. Let's look at the Sixers. This is the most perplexing thing of them all. We know the Flyers are so way down buried that it's going to take years for them to dig out, okay? So let's look at the Sixers, that other wintertime team. The whole thing depends on James Harden. There's really not much wiggle room here. If James Harden comes back as a player like the older James Harden, then you got some hope. Otherwise, you're relying on Embiid and another year trying to lift this team. Tobias Harris maybe not even here, and Maxie continuing to grow. And that's not enough. And they don't have any wiggle room. They don't have a lot of opportunity to improve this team. So where are they? They're kind of stuck in neutral. So now we got two teams stuck in neutral. You got the Phillies, you got the Sixers, and then you get the Flyers way down. They can't even start the car. So the only salvation now is your upcoming football season. And that's not bad, because that's next up. You at least can look forward to December and say, okay, this could be something. And is that enough for a major city? I don't know. Connor Thomas is with me today. Is that enough for a major city to rely on? You got the one team that maybe can do something?
Listen, maybe I'm selfish, but it's not enough for me. Like, in this market with these payrolls on some of these teams, it's not enough. No. Phils are in the luxury tax. They should be more competitive. The Sixers are throwing max contracts at multiple guys. They should be competitive. Like, the Flyers, whatever. But, like, with the money that's being thrown out and the expectations of this fan base, no, one team competing is not enough. And it's nice that the Eagles could be there, but we don't even know if they're there yet. We're just seeing a good offseason. So, not the most ideal landscape right now for Philadelphia sports.
That's a shame.
It is.
It's really a shame. This is a large market. We shouldn't be in this slog. We should at least have a couple teams that are going to give us hope. Instead, these teams have put us in neutral or below, except for the speculation of the Eagles coming up this fall. And it is just speculation. I mean, we could look at it on paper and say, you know, they had done a pretty good job. But we've seen it before where we thought that they have done a pretty good job, and it really hasn't risen to that level. So, I don't know. I just want to know how you think. You're going to be thinking sports, watching sports every Memorial Day weekend, and doing a lot of other things like picnicking and barbecuing and being at the beach and all that kind of stuff. So, we're not going to make this a heavy show. We're going to have some fun with this show. I love having Connor Thomas here, because Connor's quirky. Connor's a very quirky guy. It was revealed yesterday on our show that Connor does not like leftovers, that you will not eat leftovers.
No, not a big leftovers guy.
And so I need to have you explain why that would be. Now, you're talking about across the board?
No, you know, there's some stuff. Like, I like Chinese food the morning after. I like cold pizza in the morning.
Okay.
So my two issues are, in my house growing up, my mom was not good with expirations. So she'd keep stuff way past and say it was still good, even though it wasn't. And got sick a couple times on that. And I also...
Wait, you got sick a couple times?
Yeah, like she
What?
She left pancakes out on the counter one time, like for 2 days. And then my brother ate them for breakfast and he threw up in the middle of a math test in like elementary school. Like we were making something and there was this spice we were putting in it that expired in 1996. And we were making this in like 2012, the meal. So that scarred me. And also I have no sense of smell. So it's harder for me to tell when things are spoiled. So naturally, I get a little nervous with stuff when it lasts a little bit. So leftovers are it's a weird spot for me.
Okay, I can see where like you have that fear because the way you grew up with leftovers.
Yeah, like, it's a dangerous household.
Your mother didn't realize that like a couple days is about all you can do with them?
No, she did. She's a big believer in like, oh, the expiration date's just a suggestion.
Really?
And we were like, yeah, that works for a couple days, not like a year and a half.
Huh.
So... yeah, she's great.
All right. Well, so based on, dangerous. I don't know if these are connected, but what I want to do, because we do a lot of food and stuff for Memorial Day, I want to do a thing called this or that.
Okay.
So these are choices that you either, so you obviously you go fresh over leftovers, but you would go Chinese food leftovers over, say, your mom's meatloaf leftovers.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because why? Because you think it's fresher?
Yeah, I don't know how long my mom has kept it for.
But if you knew the meatloaf was 2 days old, you wouldn't.
Then I'll go with my mom's cooking. Okay. But the thing is, she knows I'm wary about the leftovers. So what she'll do is she'll try and trick me into eating them so stuff doesn't go to waste. Because for me, I might think it's bad. She still thinks it's good. And she'll be like, no, it's not that old. I forget exactly when I made it, but it's probably fine. Like, I'm not falling for that one again.
Mom, the meatloaf!
Exactly that.
All right, so if I said to you, Craig, well, I'm going to give this to everybody, by the way. You call in with something, I'm going to give you this or that question. I got a million of them. And they're all about little choices we make that we don't really understand that they're choices. But you have to make a choice almost everything in your life. It's either this or that. So if I say to you, hot dog or hamburger, Memorial Day?
Oh, hamburger. Easily.
You're going burger over the dog?
No doubt. You get more with the burger.
I go hamburger or chicken on the grill?
Hamburger.
Hamburger. Sausage on the grill or hamburger?
Hamburger. A cheeseburger might be my favorite food item in the world.
Sausage on the grill or hot dog on the grill?
I'm going hot dog. I don't need the fancy
sausage.
You're
not a sausage man.
Nah, the hot dog does enough.
Okay. Macaroni salad or potato salad?
Ooh, I love both of them. That's like even for me. I'd probably go macaroni salad if I had to pick.
You go macaroni salad.
Yeah.
All right. Corn on the cob or fresh salad?
Fresh salad. Corn on the cob gets stuck in my teeth. I can't do it. No, I do the fresh salad.
Oh, man. I'm a big corn on the cob, man.
I like corn, but take it off the cob for me.
You can't be. Take it off the cob.
The cob's an unnecessary item.
Your mom had to cut the kernels off a cob of corn?
No, we just got the can of corn.
Come on, man. There's nothing better than fresh corn in the summer.
Nah, it's like a Roman Quinn at bat in my household, man. Can of corn all day. Don't need the corn on the cob.
All right. And let me think of one last one that I can come up with here. Corn on the cob and what else is there? I don't know. Well, anyway, we'll do stuff like that today, okay? So everybody who calls in will get. And I'm not going to just do food here. I'm going to go all over the place with this because there's always a choice you have to make. If it's like a simple choice of Lowe's or Home Depot, you know?
Yeah.
You got to make a choice. It's one or the other.
Everyone's got a preference.
Yeah. Or regular gas or high test gas.
Yeah, right now.
Is there anybody? And I know what your engine calls for. I get it. Is there anybody paying more for high test gas than regular?
I doubt it. I'd be real surprised.
I wonder how long the higher octane gas is in that tank these days at a gas station.
Probably forever. No one's touching it.
All right. Let's give you numbers and we'll try to have some fun today. Is Brian Westbrook, he's showing up today?
Yeah, he is.
On Memorial Day weekend?
That's a trooper.
Oh,
right,
that
there.
Is a trooper. 610-632-0975 is how you climb into the show. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
220, Mike Missinelli Show on a Memorial Day Friday. Yeah, be safe out there if you're traveling. We'll be with you for the whole ride. 610-622-0975 is how you get in. 2 o'clock hour brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies. For every heating and cooling job, just visit one of Ferguson's car locations. They're in Ben Salem, King Prussia, Pensacola, or Westchester today. Start the Twitter poll today. Twitter poll is brought to us by the great people at Paul B. Moyer & Sons in Doylestown, PA. If you have a mower that needs maintenance, you don't know where to turn sometimes. Well, all you do is go to poweredbymoyer.com. They do a fantastic job with all kinds of stuff like that. And if you need new power equipment, they've got it there too. Connor Thomas with us today doing the show. Connor, what's today's Twitter poll?
Thanks, Mike. Our Twitter poll today, you can find it at 975 The Fanatic on Twitter. Is the state of Philadelphia sports right now worthy of what a market and fan base like Philly deserves? Early votes coming in. No, we deserve better is leading the way with 74% of the vote. Yes, these teams have upside with just 26% of their responses so far.
Okay, 26 is a lot for the upside. But where's that upside coming from?
It's got to be just people seeing the Eagles, and I guess, I don't know, the Joel Embiid factor still. Mm-hmm. I don't see it. I voted on the no side, but it's encouraging that 26%, like a quarter of the fan base.
It's a neutral thing. Except for the Flyers, we're stuck in neutral.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Really, that's what it is. So, all right. Back to the this or that with you. You go to a restaurant. Are you a, and the bread comes. You a butter or an olive oil man?
Butter.
You're a buttersman?
I'm a buttersman.
There's good extra virgin OO there.
I'm going
you
butter.
You know, with the OO and the bread?
You know, sometimes I'll do both, but if I got to pick, I'm going butter.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Metagon.
Knew that was coming. Yep.
All right. All right, so this will be fun. Let's go right to the phones. Let's go to Aaron in South Philly. Aaron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Hello, Aaron. How you doing?
All right.
Go ahead, buddy. You're on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
Talk about Jalen Hurts.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. Hurts and the Eagles.
Yeah.
It's like we're ranking this guy over the coals, and I don't think he had, like, such a bad year last year. I mean, he had a bad playoff game. But as far as the season, I don't think it was a bad season. I definitely think it was a season to build on. So why are we in Philly as fans raking him over the coals?
Well, I mean, what's your definition of raking him over the coals?
Like, everybody around the city is saying, like, he has to make an extremely large jump this year or he's out of here. And I just don't think it, I don't see it that way.
Well, how do you see it?
I mean, he has to get better. He has to improve. But the type of improvement that people are looking for is like we need to go to the Super Bowl with him this year or he's out of here.
No, I mean, that's not what they're thinking, because if they win the division or if they get you know, they go into the playoffs and it's cemented, and obviously he's the quarterback. He doesn't have to win the Super Bowl. But I think when you look at the Eagles, that's still kind of an unknown as to whether he can deliver to the extent of the talent they put around him. You don't think that's fair to question it? He really hasn't proven a thing yet.
I definitely think it's fair. Definitely.
Okay.
But they're not raking
him over to Coles. They're just, I think, legitimately asking questions about his ability.
Right. What do you think he needs to improve on with his arm? Is it the arm strength or is it more the accuracy?
I think it's a little of both. Yeah, I think that he needs to improve on his accuracy and his arm strength. Now, I don't know that you can improve on arm strength, so I just think making better decisions is going to have to be what he does and hanging in the pocket a little longer, not breaking out when things break down, all that kind of stuff. You got to just stay in there and deliver. Now, what do you like? What do you like about Jalen? The fact that he's dynamic.
That's what I like about him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think he's like a super accurate thrower, but he's exciting to watch. He's dynamic. He uses his legs. So that's kind of what I like about him.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, though. If the Eagles just have a decent season and it's nothing special, and say they finish, I don't know, 9-8, and they get into playoffs and they lose in the first round, don't you think that would probably be more on the shoulders of the quarterback?
It definitely would.
Okay, well, that's what they're saying. He needs to improve to the point where he's got to show that he can deliver this team to maybe 11 wins.
Right, but if that happens, say that particular season you just mentioned happened, do you trade him?
Yeah, I would think you would have to. Here's the thing. They protected themselves to, like, you know, make that draft pick. There's better quarterbacks coming in next year, so they protected themselves by getting another first round draft pick so they can move on accordingly.
Got you. Last thing, I'm super mm-hmm. stoked about the defense. The defense got me stoked.
Yeah, I agree that they've made some strides there, except for safety.
Except for safety, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll just have to see how it plays out. Let me ask you a this or that question, bro.
Sure.
Do you like television series or movie?
Series.
You like the series?
Series.
And I kind of agree with you on that. A good TV series, to me, is more intriguing than a movie. In fact, I can't tell you the last time that I actually on-demanded a movie.
Yeah, you know, I'm more of a movies guy just because of the time constraint. Like, right now, I just don't have time to consistently watch TV, even though it draws mm-hmm. me in more, I feel
yeah.
like. I just don't have the time to... I lose time in between episodes so much. It's almost the movie that I could do 2 hours, and it's just a standalone feels better for me.
All right, so there's two different kinds now, though. You can get the Netflix-type movie, or you can go with the on-demand and pay.
Yeah.
Like the recently released movies that get the on-demand that you're paying. I don't even know what the price is, because I haven't done it in forever.
Yeah, I like those. See, the Netflix movies have fallen off for me.
Uh-huh.
Back when they started doing original movies, they were really, really good, winning awards and stuff.
Yeah.
Now it's oversaturated a little bit, so I'm good with the on-demand.
You go on-demand, so you don't mind paying for a movie.
No.
See, that bugs me.
Really? Why?
Because they're not good enough for me to pay for.
Well, you got to pick one
that's... These movies that go directly there are not good enough for me to pay for.
Yeah, but it's still cheaper than going to the theater. Like, you go to the theater, you're going to drop like $12.
Yeah, I don't go to the theater anymore either.
Yeah, same, because it's too expensive.
No, it's not the expense of it. It's just like, hey, I got it now. I've got everything I need right in front of me. So there's no need for me to even go to the theater. Like, even the first run movies, they don't interest me as much because I know eventually they're going to get to me.
I feel you. I feel you. I haven't been in like a year and change, part of that pandemic. I might go see the new Top Gun Maverick.
I was actually thinking of doing that also.
Yeah, I heard that one was really, really good by reviews. But yeah, it takes a special movie to get me to actually go.
Okay, let's go to Alabama with Tom, who's a regular caller from Bama. What's up, Tommy?
Yo, Mike, thanks for taking the call, man.
What's going on, Tom?
Just hanging out, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, you know, as far as, you know, the state of the organizations, if you look over the last 7 years, the Sixers with Brett Brown, the Flyers with Hacksaw, the coach for 5 years, and then the Phillies with McPhail and Clintox, those four individuals should have never been hired in any capacity by the organizations. It goes back to the ownership making dumb decisions, hiring people like that. I mean...
Yeah, you're right about that. But look, let's look at it now, because this is we got to measure the state of them now. Now, that's in the past. Those guys are all gone that you mentioned.
Yeah.
So let's look at the state now. You got Maury Doc Rivers. You got Howie Roseman Sirianni. You got the Flyers. I have no idea what you have. But then you got Joe Girardi and Dombrowski. So if you measure the state of them now, how does that make you feel?
Well, the Phillies, I mean, right, I said in the end of, during the deadline last year, that this year especially, that, you know, it's just like your car outside. It's never going to be worth more than it is today. Nola and Segura, they could pick up some pieces for them two guys. The Phillies need to be sellers. They're not going to win the World Series this year. The Flyers, I have no clue where. I think John Tortorella would be a good start. The Sixers, I don't feel confident with Doc Rivers. He's not a winner, man, at the end of the day. And, you know, the Eagles, hey, you know, I feel good about that. But honestly, I'm going to always call it straight, Mike. And as far as Hurts goes, I don't care what anybody tells me. I know what the deal is. We're on a dirt road to nowhere with him.
Oof. All right. Well, you're an Alabama's man, so you saw him down there. Tommy, let me give you a this or that. Are you a car or a truck man? Now, with truck, I also will include SUVs. Would you rather go car or the truck vehicle?
It's, man, they've always gave me hell about that down here with, the, you know, the Southern boys with their trucks.
Uh-huh.
I'm just a little car guy, a four-door Honda or two. I'm just a simple guy, man. Never been able to do the truck deal. No.
You're a carsman.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, this is an interesting question. Are you a carsman?
Yeah, I'm definitely a carsman.
You're a carsman?
The only car I've ever driven has been a Ford Mustang. So I had an old one that was an 01. I just upgraded to a 2012.
Okay, you're recently. A Mustang man.
Yeah, so I like being low to the road.
See, it's a tough one for me because I don't think there's anything more valuable than an SUV.
Yeah, I just don't have the need for it. Like, I don't do that much stuff where I would
use an
SUV.
Well, even if you don't have the need for it, you always have it. Like today's SUVs, it's tremendously comfortable. And if you need it, and you're going to need it, you're going to have to carry something somewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
But I'll just rent, like, a truck. I'll get a U-Haul or something. No, it's more expensive.
Well, you have it right there. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
There's nothing more versatile than that. Listen, you're a young guy, all right? So you probably don't see the need for it. But suppose you, I don't know, you get down the shore, you got to take some stuff down. You know, you got to carry some stuff. You don't have to worry about it. You just open a hatch and it's there if you need it. If not, it's still like a car you have.
Yeah, I just like turning and everything feels weird that high off the ground. I'm so used to driving a small car that you can like turn on a dime on and everything. Like I drive fast too fast for like an SUV to possibly like yeah. It's just I'm so used to the feel of a car that it feels weird.
Yeah, but I think you're misjudging the SUV. You're thinking about the Escalade type of thing. Like you can get the smaller SUVs are cool.
Okay. I'm just not at that point yet. I'm sure, like, I'll get there, but I'm still in the car phase.
Suppose your grandmother calls you. Says, can you come over and mow my lawn? And you got a lawnmower. You just pull down to the handle, and you just pop it in the back of your hatch.
Yeah, I could throw it in the back seat and take the top down on the
back
car.
Back seat?
And, yeah.
You can't put a lawnmower in a back seat.
It's my only option.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's your only option. That's the point of this whole conversation.
That shouldn't
be your only option.
That's fair. But
now, a lot of people will have two. They'll have their SUV, the wife will cart around stuff, and then they have their fancy car. Well, like just for me, I'm just a dude. To me, you can't beat the SUV combo car, you know?
I get it. I'm just not there yet. For me personally, like my brother drives an SUV. He likes it, but for me, I'm a car guy.
All right. Let's go to Jeremy on a cell. Jeremy, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Jeremy.
Mike, how you doing, brother?
What's up, Jeremy?
Not much. Diehard Philly fan, Homer, 4-for-4, just like guard. Man, I tell you what, cuz, I was up Mount Airy at this deli, and guess what? I ran into freaking Embiid, I swear. I seen this guy, and he looked beat up. He looked black eyes the whole nine. This guy, he didn't have any respect. I went to approach him. He had three guards with him. Couldn't even approach him.
Ho. Where was this?
This is on Galen Ave.
Where's that?
Upper Mount Airy.
Upper Mount Airy.
Yes, Mount Airy.
Okay. When was this?
This was yesterday at 4 p.m.
Yesterday?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and your point is what?
Does this guy look like Larry Holmes, beat up, flabby, and sick?
Come on, man. You don't give me accurate information.
Listen.
Hey, you're lying to me.
I'm telling you right now, I am not lying. I know that voice, and I'll tell you what.
You know the voice?
Unless I was a...
But he's 7'2". You had to recognize him by the voice?
I know the process. I just don't trust it. But I'll tell you what. I guarantee you, Mike. Other thing I wanted to get back to in the other call, though, Jalen Hurts, I think we do give him a chance at 9-8 to see what he can do.
Yeah, 9-8, he's not coming back.
9-8, no?
No.
Well, put it like this. Who else are we going to use?
Well, they go in another direction. He's always going another direction for a quarterback.
Yeah, I can see that. Let me ask you this, Mike. I've been dying to ask you. How do you think Wentz with the Commanders is going to be?
I think he stinks. I think that we've seen the best of Wentz. All right, brother.
I don't wish that on anybody.
You wish what?
Death, but
you don't wish what? I mean, he's either good or he's not. You asked me a question. I don't think he's any good.
He's the back of manure. So we'll
bizarre quality hour
that was
right
all
there.
All over the place,
Jeremy. Oh, now what's up with him today?
Recognizing Bede by his voice. I thought it was another 7-foot tall guy.
Man, it sounded like he was tweaking a little bit. Hey,
yeah, that was interesting.
All right, let's go, Tate, Mount Airy. Tate, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tate,
what's up, Mike?
How you doing, Tate?
How you doing?
Good.
So I got a stat for you, right?
Uh huh.
And then, if I have time, I got a Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
Comment.
You got all time in the world, brother. This is Memorial Day weekend. Go ahead.
I see. I got all it right. So fast. Okay, so. James Harden still averages 22.9 points per game in his playoff career, which makes him among active players behind Durant, LeBron, Curry, Westbrook, Lillard, Carmelo, Kyrie, and the Greek Freak. So where does he come up short in the playoffs at?
Well, let's just look at him for today. All right, he clearly was not the Harden that we were used to seeing.
Okay, I agree.
So it really doesn't matter what his average was in the past. It matters right now what he is.
So our whole team came up short. I agree. But I mean,
no, listen to me. Listen to me. He's supposed to be a star player, right?
All right.
You can't go to whole team came up short. That dude had to give you more. He didn't. And now the only question is he capable of giving you hard numbers?
Right, I totally agree. That's my next question about him.
Okay.
So do you think it has something to do with his hamstring? Not no excuse, but I'm just saying that when he had
It might.
Right.
And that's why
remember, he came in and played lights out.
Yeah, it could be. See, this is what people that have to understand. He's coming back no matter what. So you better hope that it was that.
Right.
Because there's only two things. Either he's hurt and he's got to rehab his whole the mindset and body, or he's finished.
Right. And I just don't like when people say, well, he comes up short in the big moments because, you know, it's 400 players in the NBA. 20 wins.
He's won a lot of playoff games. People don't understand. Right. They see the glaring moments, which can happen to anybody. But like he's got a lot of work to do to satisfy the fan base.
I agree. Now, my Jalen Hurts comment, I hate to break the news to people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if Jalen Hurts wins 8 games. He's not going anywhere because our diva, $100 million receiver, calls him his best friend.
Yeah, that's not going to matter.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
I bet you a sandwich.
No, man. You mean to tell me you think they're going to keep a quarterback because he has a friendship with the wide receiver? Come on.
Okay. All right.
Come on. Stop it. That's the way you run a team. You should be run out of town.
That's how every team is run.
That's not how every team is run. Stop it. Stop it. There is no quarterback that keeps his job because he's friends with somebody.
Players run the league.
Give me an example of a quarterback who has underachieved, who they keep because he's got a friend who's a star player. Give me an example.
I can't give you
underachieved. Oh, you can't give me an example.
Right.
It's foolish.
I'm hoping Jalen don't underachieve.
It's foolish what you're saying, Tate.
All I'm saying is you think back to
hey, listen to me. Listen, hold on.
I'm listening.
You're telling me that if Jalen Hurts does not get this team in the playoffs, they're going to keep him because they signed A.J. Brown?
Yep.
Come on, man. Just stop. Come on. That does not work.
No, not remotely.
Does not work like that. It never happens that way. You might think that in basketball it could happen, but we're talking about a star player who is kept. If you're not an achiever, they're not keeping you because you're friends with a star player.
Yeah. How much did A.J. Brown just get paid by the Eagles on this extension? You think that's worth his friendship with Jalen Hurts? Like, making $100 million. If they say move on Jalen Hurts, you think A.J. Brown's putting that at risk?
No.
They'll hang out in the offseason again. They'll see him on weekends.
Nah, come on, man. All right, you can break in right now at 610-622-0975. This is a cool day. We're getting a lot of interesting... let me ask you this. I don't know how much of a book reader you are.
A little bit here and there.
Paperback book on the beach. Paperback book? E-book.
Definitely paperback.
You're a paperbacksman?
I have some issue with the ebook and like all of those, like the apps on the phone. I have enough screen time already. I like to be able to, when I'm unplugging, I like to be able to look at paper.
Huh.
How about you?
Well, I don't know. It's a lot easier to read a book, an ebook.
Yeah, definitely. Because of the wind factor and everything.
I'm primarily a paperbackman, but I understand the advantage that I had a Kindle.
Yeah.
And downloading those books made it a lot easier.
No, definitely. I don't know. I just have a weird thing. Like all of these are like some reads for the updates we do here. I print these out even though they're on the computer over here. I like holding stuff in my hands.
Well, I do too. I'm more. Like, I got, as you see, I got all these.
I still
do that. In fact, that Geico commercial is confusing me.
Which one?
Where he says, oh, we don't need to print stuff out from the internet. Like, don't turn in your dad. You know, there's those commercials with the guy. We don't need to print stuff on the internet. Well, I print stuff all the time on the internet.
Yeah, there's stuff that needs to be printed, for sure.
Yeah, so I didn't understand that. That's taking the concept too far, that commercial.
I agree. They got some good stuff, and now they're coming up with new material.
Stuff, that doesn't mean you're like, you're turning to your dad.
Yeah.
Does it?
No, I don't think so.
All right, 610-632-0975. Two lines are open. Good time to get in. Memorial Day weekend. Love to hear people what you're doing for Memorial Day. Where are you right now? Are you at the beach? And what's the beach like? Give me the scouting report because it's not supposed to be a great day. Mike Missinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
2:45, Mike Missanelli Show. Yeah, don't worry about the state of Philadelphia sports. Be happy. Because if you really worry about it, you're going to mess up your weekend. Phillies and Mets coming up, huh?
Yeah, hopefully it goes better than the last one. This Mets team is different, and it pains me to say it, but yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of people out there still think Mets are going to Met.
I don't know, man. They seem different this year. They just have that feel of a winning team.
I think they're better managed.
Yeah, for sure. Bucks better than anything.
Yeah. Had. Now, tonight, they're... Zach Eflin.
It's actually... Sorry, I misreported that. It's Bailey Falter. Yeah, they're putting in Falter because Girardi feels like the starters need an extra day of rest.
Oh, okay. Well, ESPN hasn't caught up with that.
No, they haven't.
So I guess the line on that with Eflin versus Carrasco. Did you call him Cookie Carrasco?
Yeah.
It's Carlos, isn't it?
Carlos. Cookie's the nickname.
They call him Cookie?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they do.
The Mets were -160 with Eflin pitching. So they're going to be a monster favorite if Bailey Falter's pitching.
Got to be. Now, Falter, they won the last time Falter made the spot start when they had the issue with Eflin and Wheeler going on the COVID list. So we'll see, but I don't like their chances tonight.
Okay. Let's get back to their phones. Let's go to Georgia Media. George, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, George?
Hey, good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, Georgie. What are you doing today, this weekend?
Staying home.
Are you staying home?
Yeah, I'm an old man.
Okay.
One thing I want to talk to, if I was the Sixers, I would go after Jalen Brunson hard. I would overpay him. He's a free agent. You don't have to give up anything.
You can't get him.
Why not?
Because you don't have cap money to buy a free agent. Yeah, they don't have money to get a free agent. They're way over the salary cap, so they can't get Jalen Brunson.
And they can't get rid of Tobias?
Well, they can, but they would have to take... They can only trade Tobias to a team that has cap money and not take back salary. But if you trade Tobias, you have to take back the same salary. So it's still not going to help you.
So Dallas would never do that.
Oh, and a sign and trade? No, they would not do that.
Oh darn! Well, then they're done for a while.
I guess.
You know, there's a reason it's been 39 years, but whatever.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey Georgie, let me give you, since you're in media, a lot of good restaurants down there. Let me give you this or that question. Are you a man who prefers delivery of the food or sitting down in the restaurant? The food.
Oh, sitting down in the restaurant.
You like sitting down in a restaurant?
Yeah, right. The atmosphere, camaraderie.
Oh, nice. You like that? All right, beautiful.
Yeah, I don't do food delivery. I mean, I assume there's a charge with that, but.
You don't like paying for the delivery, huh?
No, I'm Scottish. You know the drill.
I don't think you know what that means. What's that mean, you're Scottish?
We're thrifty.
Oh, really?
As opposed to cheap. It's the same
thing.
Okay,
you're thrifty.
Yeah.
All right, so the delivery charge bugs you.
Yeah, and I just, if I'm going to get nice food, go out to eat, and I'm very lucky that my wife's an extremely good cook.
Well, but hold on a second. If you go to the sit-down restaurant, you're going to have to give the tip, which is like, probably more than the delivery fee.
Yeah, but you're out and about, and if she wants to go out, that's what we're doing.
Oh, no, I get that. I don't know. You're thrifty with the delivery charge, but you're still going to have to tip, so, unless you're non-tipping.
Yeah, it could be a cheap tipper there, but I'm with him. Definitely
you're sit-downer, man, and then a delivery. Now, let me ask you this. Are you a deliveriesman or a pick-your-own-food-up man?
Delivery. If I'm leaving the house, I'm eating at the restaurant.
Yeah, see, I am not taking delivery.
Really?
I don't trust delivery.
What are they going to do to me?
I don't trust them because it's not going to come soon, and it's not going to be like a Johnny on the spot warm. I'm not a deliverer. I always pick up.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
See, like if I'm leaving the house, I might as well sit there and eat.
I'm anti-delivery.
Wow, delivery's nice sometimes, though.
Not nice.
Yeah,
it is. You never win with delivery. You win more with picking up your own because you can time it exactly right, make it fresher. It's just a run to this restaurant. Boom, you pick it up in a bag, and you bring it back.
You win sometimes with delivery. You're in the middle of doing something.
You don't
something.
Win delivery. You're one of five things that they're delivering. You never win.
Sometimes you do.
You win.
No, never.
When do you win?
Maybe the restaurant, you're the first stop. You get stuff. Maybe you're getting cold food.
Are you
food.
Taking a chance that you're the first stop?
Maybe I'm getting lunch, like a BLT or
like
something.
Spinning the wheel. Taking a chance that you're
the
first stop.
Yeah, but if you're busy.
Well, if you're busy, well, what?
I don't know.
What are you busy doing? You can't take 5 minutes and run to the freaking restaurant and grab your food.
People are working from home. You're like, I got an hour
unless
meeting coming up.
Unless you're going Uber Eats and you're getting some from downtown at a nice restaurant downtown and you don't want to go downtown again.
Yeah, that's what I'm
well,
talking
like,
about.
Well, when I'm ordering stuff, I order it around my house.
Yeah, that's
whether it's Mexican, whether it's Chinese, whether it's, well, I'm not ordering Italian now, but, you know.
Yeah, because I'm a South Philly. Like, if I want to go to Center City, there's nowhere to park and everything.
Yeah, all right. So if you're in the city, that's different. You're in a city that delivery. It's a different scope of delivery.
Suburbs,
but you're never winning with delivery.
Sometimes,
no, you're not.
Sometimes it's good.
And I never ever had a pizza delivered.
How have you never?
Never have a pizza.
There's
delivered.
No way you've never had a pizza delivered.
Because you're not getting the pizza out of the oven.
I get it, but you've never ever once had like that 1 a.m. come back. I need a pizza.
I may have had it once, which took me away from the whole concept of delivery.
Okay, well,
and I go, you know what? This is not pizza. No way.
Oh man, a delivered pizza late night, something great.
I'll do it.
Well, I mean, you're a man of principle. I understand, but I like it. I'm good with cheap pizza.
A lot of people don't understand. You got to respect the food. I know I'm the food tyrant, but you're getting that pizza 20 minutes past its prime.
I don't need the prime pizza. I can make the pizza work. I don't need prime pizza.
Come on.
I don't need a championship pizza.
You need prime food.
Sometimes a second round exit pizza is good.
You're a young kid who doesn't appreciate the food yet. Be your Medellin. So you don't appreciate the food.
Listen, all these are fair, but I am what I am. I'll take the cheap pizza. Give me the delivery.
I'm trying to school you here.
And 1 a.m., there's no school, and I just need the pizza there, and I can't go get it, so.
6-1, why can't you get it?
If I've been out at the bars drinking and everything, I'm not going to
So on the way
around.
Home, you get your phone, you order the pizza, on the way home, you grab the pizza.
Yeah, but I'm taking like a ride share because I can't drive or whatever. I can't tell like a cab to drop me off at the pizza place, find another one.
No, you're in a different
Bring
scope.
Well,
I'm talking about the average person.
Okay.
You're in a different youngin', I'm living in the city type of vibe.
Yeah.
All right. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
3 o'clock hour. Ooh. Don Henley. Unmistakable guitar riff.
Great open to this one.
It really is. The 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Corpolis Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie, hoagie pie, cheese. Everybody's good. All right, Tyrone and Jenner off, and Tom Alborn was with us yesterday. He did the show with Anthony today. So Connor Thomas is with us today, and at 3:45, we're going to go What's Cracking with Connor.
Yes, sir.
Or you have chosen three stories.
I have three good ones.
All right. The topic for today, we're talking about where you feel the state of Philadelphia sports is. I believe it is stuck in neutral, with the only way to move the gear would be the upcoming Eagles season. Everything else just stuck in neutral. I have no idea what to think about the Phillies, nor the Sixers at this point. We know what to think about the Flyers. It's disgraceful that they put themselves in this position where they have to dig out from such a large hole. I never thought I would see it with this franchise, but that's where they are right now. And we're also doing some this or that questions. This is all decisions that we have to make during the course of a day. So, you know, it's barbecue season, barbecue weekends. I've asked a lot of barbecue questions like gas or charcoal. Are you a gas or charcoal man?
I'm not really a grillsman. I don't normally hop on the grill. I handle the drinks. But
that's a normal question for most people.
Yeah, I'll go gas.
Gas or charcoal?
I'll go gas.
See, I was always a charcoalsman, but it's just like, it's so much more convenient, the gas.
Yeah, it's easier.
You know, it's like turning on your burner.
Right. What's the deal with the charcoal? Is it the taste for you, or is the smell?
The charcoal. Listen, whatever you're grilling comes out better with charcoal. I don't think there's any question. But it's a commitment. You know, it's a commitment. Like, you got you got to be cooking a lot of stuff for the charcoal to be effective for you. You just can't, like, because it takes a long time to get the charcoal going. It's got to get white hot, all that kind of stuff. And then if you're only using it for a little bit, then you're just kind of wasting a lot of time.
Yeah, meanwhile, the gas is just prime it, set it. It's already hot enough, and you're good.
Yeah.
I got you.
All right. Now, one question for you as we go into the calls. Diet soda or regular?
Regular.
You're a regulars man?
Yeah.
You need to break that habit, Holmes.
I don't do soda.
That is not good for you.
I don't ever do soda.
How about juice?
I really just, I drink water.
You're a water?
And I drink alcohol. That's it. Those are my only two. There's no in between.
Why am I asking you these questions? You're abnormal.
Listen, I'm here.
It's a normal question for most people.
Remember how you led into
this. You get the regular Coke or you get the Diet Coke?
Yeah, you called me quirky. You were
off. You are weird. All right, let's go Sean in Coatesville. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Hey, Michael, what's going on?
What's up, Sean?
So, I have a violation for a short fact. MLB baseball, okay?
Yeah.
I play baseball in like 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that's a baseball 101. Right? When it's a pop-up, aren't the runners supposed to stay on the bag first, right? How come all these pros, when it's a pop-up, they run to second base and they catch it and they run back? This is a stupid question, but
well, where's the pop-up?
If it's not...
It's in the infield, they're not doing that. If it's in the outfield, you got to gauge whether it's going to drop or not.
Yeah, but even like... I say it's not going to drop, but they can still get the second. Like, it irks my soul.
You can't get the second unless you go halfway. If the ball drops, you're not. If you're going to stay close to the bag, you're not going to get to the next base.
Maybe just me. That bothers me. I just want to say that to you first. But then also, Philly sports are purgatory. The Phillies are in purgatory. Okay, I'm not sure if it's the coach or what, but like you know, I say this week is a big week for the Phillies. If they go under 500 this week, like overall for the week. It's going to be a wrap for the season, I feel like. So they got some big matchups and everything, and they got to set the tone now. We're also going to get halfway and say, you know what, we're going to go 500 again.
You're probably right about that. We went over the actual games yesterday to see what their record could be and whether they could be buried or not. And the way we came out with it yesterday is that they would actually gain one game in the plus category.
I'm a... Who's charcoal guy for the grill? It takes time, but it's a lot better than gas.
Yeah, well, listen, if you have a big family and you can invest that way in the meal that you're cooking, I think, yeah, charcoal's the way to go. But if you, it's a small party, it's a commitment.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm having a barbecue this weekend, so I'm ready for it. It's raining right now.
Oh, you have a barbecue this weekend, you probably got a lot of people there, right?
I'll have a good amount, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's worth it. Totally worth it. All right, let me give you a this or that.
Okay, all right.
Toilet paper. Are you an over-the-roll guy or an under-the-roll guy?
Over. Who's under? If you're under, that's like a packet if it's under.
All right. See, a lot of people don't see it that way. A lot of people like the under, where it comes from underneath instead of on the top.
Nah, the under's crazy. I don't understand under people. It's over all the time.
I got to be honest with you. I don't think there's a problem with the under.
It just doesn't seem natural. I don't know. It just looks weird.
It's just you pull it down instead of pulling it over the top.
It just feels weird.
It might be even a little more handy.
Yeah, like you know how you have a shoe that you put on? You always put on a certain shoe. For some people, mm-hmm. It could be different, but it just feels wrong when you do it the other way. There's no reason for it. That's the under. Like, there's no reason why it's wrong. It just is.
You ever live with people and they don't put the roll back?
What do you mean?
They're too lazy to actually replace the roll.
So either they leave it empty or they set it on top of it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've done that?
Yeah, I haven't done that. I've lived with people who've done that.
When I was a junior in college, I lived with five other people. So a couple of bathrooms were shared. I was a townhouse. And I swear to God, none of the guys that lived in the house could figure out how to replace the damn roll or they were too lazy. So I wrote up a how-to sheet. I wrote, like, with illustrations on how to actually replace the toilet paper, and I taped it onto the tile wall.
That's not bad.
Did they get
it? Did they start doing it after that?
Yeah.
That's good. See, I'll trade you. When I was in college, when I lived at an apartment off campus, we had an incident with an orange and a toilet where the orange went down the toilet, but it was the perfect size that it clogged it. And to the point where it got far enough down the pipe, they literally had to pull the toilet off. So for a week, we just had a hole in our bathroom where the toilet used to be.
The snake in there?
Couldn't get it out. It was lodged.
A plumber couldn't get that out.
They took the entire toilet. I don't know if that was easier for the college to come do it, and that's what they chose to do. But there was like a week where we had no toilet. We had to go to like one of the on-campus buildings where classes were, because we just had a hole in the ground in the bathroom.
Here's the other thing: if you're living with people, to avoid changing the role, they will measure out. They can only go so far and leave a couple sheets left, so they can justify that they don't have to change the role. You ever seen that happen?
Yeah. Now, I may have been guilty of that at points in the past. I may have been. I'm not proud to admit it, but.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, my God. I swear to God. People are such lazy ass in this world.
Well, sometimes you're in a tweener where you're like, I don't need that much.
Tweener.
You don't need that much left.
Well, then,
so what, am I going to waste the extra?
Yes. If there's like three sheets left, you don't leave three sheets there. You change the damn role and you throw away the three sheets.
Yeah, but that's a waste of sheets.
Be courteous to the next person who's going to be in there.
Is courtesy worth those extra sheets?
Three sheets.
That saved the planet, Mike. Can't be wasting the three sheets.
I can see you pull it down and you got enough for one wipe.
Yeah.
Right? That's fine. But if it's three sheets and you pull it down and you hit, you know, it stops because it's glued to the little tube. Come on, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Mitch in the Bay Area. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on in the Bay Area today? Is it beautiful out there?
It's a touch cooler than it has been, but it's really pretty nice overall, I got to say.
Yeah. People excited about the Warriors?
They are. They are.
Warriors come out to play.
That's right. Yeah, they really are. They're a big Warriors fan. I mean, the Warriors are like, they draw, you know, they didn't make the playoffs for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And they still sold out most games. They're a good fans, Warriors.
Yeah,
Warriors
fans. Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So real quick, I want to make a Sixers point, but I'll touch on the Eagles and the Phillies with the theme you're talking about. The Phillies, I got no clue. I just feel like two out of the five positions we knew were going to be tough, and that's center field to shortstop, but they're also not getting much from first base, and they're not getting much from catcher. So it feels like something's a little off.
You're absolutely right. That's three key positions to slug. First base, catcher, and left field, by the way. He's killing them. Schwarber has been killing them.
Yeah, he really has. Really has. So that's them. The Eagles, I'm looking forward to a pretty good Eagle season. I think with their schedule, I think they could start 6-1.
Ooh.
I do. I mean, their schedule's not that tough, at least at the beginning, and I think they can get on a nice little roll. But the Sixers, I actually have more confidence in the Sixers than I think most people do.
Really?
And the reason for that, yeah, I do.
Okay.
Because I think even if they don't, I don't think they have a ton of moves that they can make, but I do see a lot of possibilities for improvement. So let me give you some examples, and you tell me what you think.
All right,
okay?
Go ahead.
So I think Paul Reed or Charles Bassey or both of them can develop into maybe reliable 10 to 12 to 14 minute players.
Okay.
And we saw a little bit of that with Paul Reed already. Mm-hmm. I think that on their bench, I think that Milton, I mean, you know, you've said this before, like he's got some skills. He just doesn't do it consistently enough.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, I'm going to let the back injury be an excuse and say that this is the season that he can come off the bench and give him like 15 to 20 minutes and 12 points a game. I think that, some combination of Springer, Isaiah Joe, and maybe Charlie Brown, one or two of those guys can develop into somewhat reliable minutes guys, rotation guys. And I do think that Harden's going to come back and be better. I think he's going to develop that catch and shoot, which he's never had to do. Like, I think it's harder to do that if you've never done it, like he's never had to do it. So I think with all those things coming together, I think that they can be better even without doing anything. And I still think they're going to do stuff too.
Okay.
So I think, you know, they might trade Harris. And if they do, they're not going to trade him just to
I think you're
him.
Way more optimistic than I am about what you just said. Those components.
I know. I can feel that. But I mean, do you think that those things are completely out of the blue?
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, I think they're completely out of the blue, except for maybe the Paul Reed Bassey thing. And you're limiting to 15 minutes. I think the other things are way out of the blue.
You don't think Milton, I mean, Milton's shown enough.
No, I don't think that he's not going to be able to be consistent enough in this league.
All right. Well, that's what I got.
All right, man. Let me give you a this or that question.
Okay.
Let's go morning. I got two questions for morning breakfast there.
Okay.
Pancakes or waffles?
I'll go waffles.
Pancakes or omelet?
Absolutely an omelet. I have an omelet literally every day of my life.
Okay. Breakfast sausage or breakfast pork roll?
Oh, definitely sausage.
All right. You got it, buddy. Appreciate the call. I'm a sausage man, too, but if pork roll's available on the menu, it's not even a decision.
Really?
Oh,
yeah?
There's nothing that beats pork roll. That beats breakfast meat pork roll.
Yeah, I just like sausage. I like the sausage links. That's the best.
Do you go links over patties?
If I'm getting a sandwich, I go patties. If I'm getting just the sausage by itself, I go links.
Over pork roll?
Yeah.
Pork roll's the greatest breakfast meat that's ever been invented.
I'm a sausage man.
Well, I'm not anti-sausage, but come on.
I'll take the sausage over everything.
Doesn't measure up to the pork roll.
The pork roll doesn't do it as much for sausage for me. I'm not anti-pork roll. I just prefer the sausage.
You are so weird.
No, what's wrong? The sausage is a great breakfast meat.
The sausage is, but like not over pork roll.
I like the sausage. Let's backtrack.
Or we go up north to the North Jersey area where it's called Taylor
that's
Ham.
That's not, yeah.
Taylor Ham, it's pork roll.
It's not Taylor Ham. Yeah, they're all wrong, but... So are you a waffle or a pancake?
Pancake all the way.
Really? Over the waffle?
Oh, wait. The waffle doesn't even get on my plate.
Dude, the syrup stays in the waffle so much better.
It's a different taste. It's a waffle is like a dessert thing. Pancakes with blueberries in them and a little butter. You can't beat it.
I only do pancakes if they're chocolate chip.
Yeah, otherwise, that's a waffle. You're like 14.
Yeah, pretty much.
610-632-0975 is how you get in. So let's just look at what my man just said here. You can't possibly think at this point that Shake Milton's going to come back because all of a sudden he's going to find it. Now, he may, but you can't think that, right? And you can't think that, what else did he say?
That Isaiah Joe or Jane Springer or...
Come on.
Yeah, Charlie Brown.
Come on, Isaiah Joe, Jane Springer, Charlie Brown? Seriously? Like, you have no frame of reference at all to think that.
No, your only chance is maybe Isaiah Joe can shoot like the high 30s from three, but he still gives you nothing defensively.
No, Isaiah Joe, I've seen enough that there's nothing to happen.
Right, and yeah, he doesn't have
NBA face.
No, and Charlie Brown was a nice story, but he's not a guy that's going to make waves for this
team. Now, what he said about Harden, catch and shoot? Yeah, because that's part of the whole redevelopment of Harden that you have to count on.
But can you win
the
with
other
him
things,
just being
you're
catch
just
and shoot?
Guessing on the other things.
Right. Yeah, that was very optimistic.
Let's look at the Phillies. Did this yesterday. I want to see how you come out with this. Right now, they're 21-24. The next 12 games, 3 against the Mets. What do you got?
1-2.
3 against the Giants at home.
They don't hit at home, but I'm going 1-2 in that one as well.
3 versus the L.A. Angels.
I'm just saying 2 of 3 because they have to win one of these series. Okay. Like I think they're going to run into one, but the Angels are good.
3 at Milwaukee.
It depends what pitchers they're seeing. If they're seeing Burns and Woodruff, they're in trouble. I'm going to give them 1-3, or 1-2 in that one.
So you have just come up with 5-7.
Yeah.
Which means that's under 500.
Yes,
not
it is.
500. And that makes them 26-31.
Yeah, which I don't think kills them.
At the end
them.
Of that stretch.
it doesn't kill them in the wild card, but dude, the division is going to be tough.
Matt in Medford. Matt, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hello, Matt.
Hey, how come there's no more prototypical leadoff hitters in baseball anymore?
Like, yeah, it's the game has changed to the point where, you know, the leadoff hitter can run, it can steal base. They don't do that anymore.
Where are the Kenny Loftons and Vince Coleman?
Yeah, they're gone. They're gone forever.
Forever?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad.
Well, the game has changed. You know, the game has changed. You don't manufacture runs anymore, one base at a time.
Why isn't the stolen base like valued though? I don't understand.
Because they look at it like it's more of an out than it is a help.
Right.
There's only so many guys that can steal a base anymore in this league. Because that player has been phased out of the game. You have to have some pop now to play in the game.
Right. All right. I got a trivia question for you, Mike.
Okay. What do you got?
Who has the most base hits in the 90s in Major League Baseball?
In the 90s? I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. What is it? Kenny Lofton? I mean, Junior?
Nah.
No?
You got no idea?
No, who is it?
Mark Grace.
Who?
Mark Grace.
Mark Grace. All right, that's a pretty good trivia question. Let me give you a this or that. Are you a credit card man or a debit card man?
Debit card.
You're a debit card?
Yeah.
All right. Are you a credit card man or a cash man?
Cash.
You don't use credit cards, huh?
Nah.
And why would that's interesting? Why would you not use credit cards?
I like to pay up front. I'm a cash man all the way.
Okay, but you with a credit card, you can still pay it all. You don't have to pay the fee. You pay it all, and you get points. Right?
Yeah.
But you're not that. Like you're that. Not of that.
I don't like having that bill at the end of the month.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I kind of agree with him there.
You don't like having to bill at the end of the month. So you're a debit man or a cash man?
I used to do a lot of cash because I bartended. I got tipped out in cash. And then the pandemic, a lot of people went away from it. I've just never come back to carrying cash. So I'll go debit. And then I'll have like certain things I'll put on the credit card just to accrue some points, like certain purchases. But I'm mainly debit card.
Well, all right. The debit card, though, is taking money out of your checking account.
Yeah.
So why would you not, like, take the money out of your checking account and also get points?
It's just something with the bill at the end of the month. I don't like to have it all pile up and pay a bunch of stuff at the same time. Like, spreading it out helps me out.
Mentally?
Yeah, exactly. Like, seeing all of that come out.
It's the same money.
I know. But it's like seeing all of that come out at the same time. It's a little bit easier for me to limit my spending when I do it up front, as opposed to just like coming to the end of the month and I'm like, I spent how much? So helps me keep track better too.
I mean, I'm saying like, man, if you got a girlfriend, young girlfriend, you meet a new lady and you want to take her somewhere and it's an expensive trip and you've accumulated points to get a trip.
Yeah, that would be like big expenses is what I do the credit card for. Uh-huh. But like day-to-day stuff normally, I go to the Wawa, I use the debit card, stuff like that.
All right. I don't know, man.
I think that's prudent spending, yeah?
I don't know what's prudent spending. I like the idea of paying off a credit card in full to accumulate the points since it's coming out of the same pot anyway.
Yeah,
you know?
I get what you're saying. I just mentally, for me, I like to track it better like day to day so I don't overspend.
610-632-0975 is how you climb into the show. State of Philadelphia sports. Let's go down all of the sports and you tell me what you see in the landscape. Mike Missanelli Show continues.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
It's time for an update on our Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown, PA. Connor Thomas is with us today. Connor, what do we have?
All right, our question, is the state of Philadelphia sports right now worthy of what a market and fan base like Philly deserves? Over 500 votes on this one, and leading the way still with 78% of the vote is no, we deserve better. 22% of responders saying yes, teams have upside, so more people switching to the no side since we first checked it.
Okay. By the way, what's cracking with Connor is coming up in like 15 minutes, and Brian Westbrook will join us at 4 o'clock. Brian, doing yeoman work here, doing a little holiday weekend gig.
Yeah, it's very generous.
It is. One question. We were doing these this and that questions. I'm going to ask everybody for this and that as well. Sausage or bacon?
Sausage.
Really?
Yeah.
Sausage over bacon.
Definitely. You get more out of sausage, I think. It's better coverage on a sandwich. Like, bacon's a little, bacon's thin. Sausage, you get the thickness.
Okay. That's good. John on his cell. John, you're on 97.5 to Fanatic. What's up, John? Hello, John. John, you're on the air, buddy. All right, John, you're on. John, you're on the air. Do not listen to your radio.
Were you looking for Sean?
No. Oh, is this Sean?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Sean. I'm sorry. It says John on my screen. Go ahead.
Can you hear me okay?
I got you, Sean. Yep.
Okay, cool. All right, so I'm just going to run through the topic real quick and then get to what I really called about. Sports-wise, I'm very excited about the Eagles. Can't wait to see what Jalen Hurts comes back as. You know, the Phillies, they got to get somebody to lead off. I mean, I think that's really what they really, really need is someone that they can start them off, keep them going, and, you know, they just don't have it right now. And obviously, it would be great if they could get that in a center fielder. Sixers, everything relies on what Harden does or what he can do or what he still can do when he comes back. And then Flyers, I can't even watch them unless they're in the playoffs. And that's going to be a long time from now. So, but anyway.
So what's your level of satisfaction with the state where we are right now?
Satisfaction? Eagles very satisfied at the moves. We'll see how it works out. You know, on paper, great.
Okay.
Phillies, they're frustrating. But, you know, I'm waiting for the offense to turn around. So I'm still giving them a chance. Sixers, honestly, I don't know. That's a hard one because I was really satisfied with the move of Harden, not satisfied with the results, but I'm just hoping that maybe he was hurt. Not that I wish the man's hurt, but I'm hoping that that's what it was. And he just comes back and he's you know, the Harden of somewhere of the old days.
All right, so let me get this straight here because I wanted to just tally this up. So it sounds like you're like me, where I go, okay, Sixers, my gear is neutral. Phillies, my gear is neutral. Eagles could take me up to like an upper gear, but the Flyers in the lower gear. So everything evens out, and we're in a neutral pattern.
Yeah. If you're tallying it up, I've got two zeros, a negative one, and a positive.
All right. So it all comes out to a flat line.
Yeah, pretty much, unfortunately.
All right, let me give you this or that here, Sean. Are you an ice cream in a cone or an ice cream in the dishman?
Definitely in the dish. You can put more stuff on top of it.
You're a dishman with the ice cream.
Yeah. Cones are, you can't put it, I like sundaes.
Well, that's different, though. I'm talking about, like, scoops of ice cream, cone or dish?
Just the scoop itself, I guess I could go with a cone.
You guess? Well, I'm asking, is it a cone or a dish?
We'll go good waffle cone.
Okay. Good waffle cone. No, this is a straight question. Either you like your ice cream scoops in a cone, or you like them in a dish. You're a conesman?
I'm a conesman. But it's the cone that's circular at the bottom, not the conical one, the one that's the flat bottom, so it doesn't leak out the little hole in the bottom. Because that is one of the main flaws of the ice cream cone that's been fixed and people refuse to use it. You can have the flat bottom where it's all contained. The old-fashioned ice cream cone, it drips out, gets in your hand.
The old-fashioned ice cream cone, it ends in a point?
Yes. I like the one where it's
you
flat
like the
on the
stub,
bottom.
The stubby cone?
Yes.
Are you a fancy conesman?
What's
a pretzel cone, a waffle cone? Are you, do you venture outside the wafer cone?
I mean, I will. But, like, I don't need it. I don't need my cone to do all that much. Just hold the ice cream. Like, I'll try it, but It's definitely cone over the bowl. You can't eat the bowl.
So you like the bland or cone to blend with the sweeter ice cream rather than the sweet cone with the sweet ice cream.
Yeah, I don't have much of a sweet tooth to begin with, so the ice cream does enough for me. But I like
now,
the cone.
Now, to his point,
eat.
You can't put more goop on it if it's in a dish.
You can. Yeah, but
I'm
like,
not a goopsman, though. If I'm going to goopsman, I'm going to get a sundae. I'm not going to get the scoops.
Yeah, one topping per ice cream is enough for me.
And my go-to, if I'm going dish, my go-to is black raspberry in a dish.
Okay. I'm not
You're
a
not a black raspberry man?
No.
Oh, man.
No, I mean, chocolate
like
and peanut
fresh
butter.
Like a fresh beach ice cream shop with the freshly made black raspberry.
No,
oh,
sir.
You can't beat it.
Give me chocolate and peanut butter.
Mint chocolate chip.
Yeah, I could do mint chocolate chip. I could do that. Cookie dough, though. Give me some cookie dough. It's over.
That's too sweet.
Nah, it's great. With the chunks in it, so every bite's a little different. Let's go.
Tom in North Wales. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
What's up, Tom?
Happy holiday stuff, you know?
Yes. Happy holiday to you, too.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I have a Jalen Hurts point, and then while I'm on hold here, I'm thinking to myself, I hope that I'm 66 years old. I hope that younger people understand that you don't get very many Bryce Harpers in the fan world.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, that's a franchise guy. It's a lifetime guy.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to see another one of those for a long time. So I hope every night while he's out there busting it, that, you know, everybody appreciates it. He's our man.
Yeah, I think, you know, I had a little beef with the fan base. They booed him after a strikeout once. I don't think that guy should ever be booed.
No. No, I mean, I'm not going to ever bust on the guy for trying to take second base, because a lot of times he gets it, and he's the only guy on the team who really plays.
Well, I got a beef with that. I know, like, there's a difference between foolish and smart.
Yeah, but it's
and aggressive. Foolish and aggressive, I guess I should say.
Okay, yeah, and you can split hairs on that, but I'll take aggressive.
Okay.
Okay, so my Jalen Hurts point. Me and my friends talk about Jalen Hurts, you know, is he really the guy? And he's known, of course, as a rushing quarterback, and they always have the stats of so many yards for a quarterback rushing, so many touchdowns. But I want the stat. I had to look it up yesterday, and it wasn't obvious. How many first downs does he make with his legs?
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
Every one of those moves the sticks and buys more plays. Every one of those is huge. And he is third last year in the NFC in rushing first downs, including all the running.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily going to win titles for you. That's a nice stat because he's got the availability. But the quarterback that consistently moves the team down the field with his arm is what primarily you want.
You're back to the Bryce Harper Black Swan thing. We have an Aaron Rodgers in the world. We have a Peyton Manning who's retired. We've got a Tom Brady in the world. Those are the guys. And a few others who aren't seasoned yet, maybe the guys who really have the arms that can pick up a team and carry a bad team.
Well, what I'm saying is that the mobility is great, but the primary function of the quarterback is to get the ball down the field. Now, if you find an interesting blend of that, then I guess you're ahead of the game. But just because he makes first down with his legs, that's not enough for me.
Well, but that's how you get the chance to get first and second.
You know how else you get the chance? You get back in the pocket and you deliver a strike.
Okay. Well, I hope to see a little more progression from him this year. I think he did a big improvement last year over the prior four games he had. And I think he did better in the second half of the year than he did in the first half of the year.
Okay.
And I think, you know, we can look for some progression like that. But I'm telling you, if you want to talk about quarterbacks who are rushing, running quarterbacks, I think it's first downs. That's because, you know, I don't care if he gets another 5 yards. I don't care if he gets a touchdown because, you know, the defense is looking the other way. I don't care about quarterback sneaks. Those aren't stats that matter when you're talking stats. What does matter is guy looks down the field, he sees nothing there, and he gets you a first down.
No, yeah, that's not what matters most.
It's not.
Because a lot of those things, he's given up on a play that he could have completed for 25 yards.
No.
Yes.
No,
because there's a fine line between busting out of the pocket and getting that first down and whoop-de-doo, congratulations, or staying in there another half second and delivering the ball.
If it's open,
if you hang in there and wait for it to be open. That's my point. No, it's not going to be open right away sometimes. Sometimes you got to throw a receiver open.
Oh, that's a different thing. Throwing the C rope.
It's the same thing. That's what I'm talking about. Here's your this.
Throwing the C rope is different than hanging in the pocket.
Here's your this.
Throwing the C rope is different than hanging in the pocket. You just need to hang in the pocket, and he did that much better. He used to like be. It was like a two count.
Yeah, the only thing I'm disagreeing with here is that the be all end all is that he can bust down and get a first down with his legs. I understand that. That's not going to be the factor that makes you win. It's okay.
Right.
Nothing wrong with it.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, that's not... People get obsessed with seeing the athleticism, that they think it matters more than what it does in winning. And throwing the guys open is winning. Like, throwing the ball down the field is winning. Creating 30-yard plays instead of 10-yard plays is winning.
It's all the same. Either you throw a guy open, which means you get rid of it quicker, or you hang in there longer and you make the play without saying, I got to bail out here. That's what I'm talking about, Jalen Hurts.
Exactly. He's got to prove that he can hang in the pocket because that's the position. Like
The question I was going to ask him, but then he kept going on. Shopping in-store or online?
In-store.
You're an in-store?
Shop? Yeah. Online, it's a mixed bag. It's sort of how you feel about delivery food. Like, you don't know.
Not food.
No, I know, but I'm saying it's kind of the same thing. Like, you don't know what's going to show up when you order stuff online sometimes.
Well, sure you do.
You know, I have the full idea, though. You see a picture of it online. I'd rather just hold it in my hand, see it in person.
The only shopping in store I'll do is grocery or clothes. Everything else, I'm going online. Sneakers, shorts.
So you don't like to try on the shoes? Like, different sizes run slightly different?
No.
I have, like,
it's so easy to return stuff anymore. Like, I've got shoes, like, okay, I order a 10. I order a Nike 10. The Nike 10 on that particular model is a little tight. So I'll just reorder a 10 and a half. I'll take that back to either mail it or there's a Nike store near me. I'll just, you know, drop it there, and then I'll wait for the other thing.
That's so much more effort, though. It's a couple more days. If you're at the store, though, you just try a pair on. No, that doesn't fit. Try another pair on. Saves you time. Yeah. Saves you worry. I'm in person.
You know, I'm buying clothes I'm going to wear out. I'm in person.
Right.
Because you really can't get a general idea of what that is online.
Absolutely right. I'm with you there.
All right. 610-632-09. So that's a quick break. And on the other side, what's cracking with Connor?
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right. 3:46. Mike Missinelli Show. A Memorial Day special show today on Friday. Brian Westbrook's going to join us at 4 o'clock. But right now, we do this every day at this time on the show where we kind of go around the globe. Usually it's Jen Scordo, but today it's Connor Thomas. And we call this What's Cracking with Connor. Connor, what do we have today that will make us smile or aggravate us?
This one might make you a little bit nervous where we're starting. We're starting up in Rhode Island. Mike, have you seen the movie The Conjuring?
No.
Okay, it's a horror movie. It's based on this house that is very, very haunted up in Rhode Island. So the house that inspired The Conjuring, the house that it's based on, just sold.
Yeah, we did this yesterday.
What? We're moving on. All right,
your boy Tom Alvord had this story yesterday.
Killing me, Tommy. Okay, well, local radio producer steps in it in What's Cracking with Connor segment. That's our
This, for the people that weren't listening yesterday, give me the Conjuring story.
Yeah, it got sold for $1.5 million.
Uh-huh.
This lady who bought it, Jacqueline Nunez, said the purchase is personal for her. And it's not a real estate development, but it's around her own beliefs, which she's got to be doing some weird witchcraft in there or something. That's the only explanation, but it's a haunted house that someone's paying $1 million plus to live in. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so you wouldn't do that?
No, no shot. I wouldn't go near this house.
And we talked about this yesterday, and I go, what makes it a haunted house?
I don't know. There's spirits and stuff and weird happenings in there.
There is. Like, how do we know that? It's been documented?
Yeah, it was like reported by people. They had, like, I guess people who study that stuff, paranormal activities go in there and...
All right, so the question is, it's not that house, another house, and the whispers are that it's haunted. It's a nice house, a good price. Would you stay away from purchasing a house because of that?
100%.
You would? So you're a man who's spooked by stories of ghosts and things like that.
I just don't like to test it. Why? Like, there's plenty of houses out there. I'm not buying the haunted house. I'll buy the other house if I have to spend a little extra.
Fits perfect. Perfect house.
It's haunted. It doesn't fit perfect.
Okay, now you're right. If there are other houses available... I probably go right, even though I'm not a man who believes in the ghost thing.
Yeah, well, the other thing with those movies that always was weird to me, like, just leave the damn house. I understand you spent money on it, but go into credit card debt or something. You're living in a house where it's like things are attacking you and your family, get out of there. It's crazy that they stay as long as they do.
It's a movie.
Yeah, but like, I understand. It's illogical, though. That bothers me.
You see, I'm not a horror movie man. I talked about this yesterday also. I don't get the concept of the horror movie.
I enjoy them. I enjoy it. Like, just
why? It's interesting.
Stuff.
Why?
The jump scare and everything, getting the adrenaline going. It's like an adrenaline rush.
Really?
Yeah, it's. I imagine why people
don't
like,
jump out of a plane if you want that.
No, I don't want to be an actual danger. I don't want to actually jump out of a plane. So I'll
you
do
want
the
adrenaline
danger.
Rush of a horror movie.
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of like a placebo adrenaline rush.
Okay.
It's not real.
I got you.
All right, this next one. We're going over to England where we got a world record set, one of the weirder ones. 1,369 people all dressed up like vampires on, apparently it's World Vampire Day, to set a world record for most people dressed as a vampire. It's one of these stupid world records where a group gets together at a bunch of them. It coincided, actually, it was World Dracula Day, which was held at Whitby Abbey. With inspiration from Bram Stoker's original story about Dracula.
Uh-huh.
So they all dressed up. They wore the teeth and everything. Would you ever do that? Would you ever do one of those dumb like group world records where it's like we just get a couple thousand people and automatically break a world record just to say you did it?
Do I look like a guy that would do that?
I would say absolutely not. But hey, you never know. I don't know what you do on your weekends totally. You play a little golf, maybe you dress up as Dracula.
No, the answer would be no to that question.
Nothing like that. Like when they had like the long cheesesteak down in South Philly that spanned blocks. You would never want to be like a part of something like that?
No.
Okay. I think it would be kind of cool to say you have part of a world record.
Kind of a world record is that?
You're in the book, I guess.
Did you break the 400 meter hurdles?
Are there any world records?
Part of the longest cheesesteak? What's that give me?
Okay.
You give me a cup of coffee in life.
So let's do that then, basing on the story, what's a world record you want to try and break that you think you'd have a shot?
I haven't even thought about breaking any world record at all.
You got nothing? Like longest continuous broadcast, anything like that?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. Hey, some people are not as inclined to the world records as that one, but there's dumb stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't understand the world record thing either.
Yeah, some people just like to feel important by doing things like that.
All right,
last one, we're going down to South Carolina, where someone was on the lam. Well, actually, a lamb was on the lam. A fugitive lamb was captured in South Carolina on a tennis court. So there was a loose lamb that was wandering around this South Carolina community, and they'd been spotting it different places. They're trying to figure out who it belongs to or where it came from. Well, eventually, they tracked it down on a tennis court, and they wrangled the lamb, and they made sure that they brought it in. No one has claimed it yet, but I don't understand why the lamb was causing issues. And apparently,
because the lamb knows that somebody's going to try to cut that thing up and serve it.
Right.
That's what the lamb was thinking.
Yeah, the lamb's trying to just live. And the other issue, while at the tennis court, I heard the lamb was complaining, said he was in dress code, wore the all whites, still got kicked off. I don't think that's fair.
See, this is a subject near and dear to me. I do not understand us consuming lamb and why we would.
Oh, we eat.
To me, it's a total violation.
We eat other animals. Like, why is the line with lamb?
Because lamb is a young sheep.
Yeah,
there's no reason to have a young calf or a young sheep and you eat them up. Let them grow up to be adults.
You like veal, though? Like,
no.
Okay.
I mean, I like veal. I stay away from veal for that reason.
Okay, so it's the age of the animals, but when they're older, so like...
Let the thing grow into a sheep. Let it shear it and get some wool out of it and let the thing live.
Okay.
All right?
So far, this lamb's good. No one's claimed it. They're just hanging on to it. So it's in, I guess, custody of some animal service down there in South Carolina. So the lamb was loaded into a carrier. And as far as we know, the lamb's good, or it could be dinner already. But unfortunately, just wanted to get some swings in, play a couple sets, and
wear the all whites.
Yeah, he was in dress code. I don't understand why they had to take him away.
All right, that was what's cracking with Connor for today. We'll go into a commercial message. And then we'll have Brian Westbrook join us, and we'll have some fun with Brian. Nothing pressing, no issues pressing with Brian Westbrook. So we'll just, it's just Brian hanging out with us today. The Mike Missinelli Show, we're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
It's 4 o'clock, Memorial Day weekend, Friday. Everybody has some family activities planned. And then, don't forget the reason for Memorial Day is we honor all the great service people that served this country. And a lot of people's relatives have. So keep that in mind as we celebrate with the family and barbecues and all that stuff. 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check them out online at landisbc.com. Well, my man is taking some, how about this? It's a special holiday weekend, and he's hanging out with us. That says something about our next guest, the great number 36, Mr. Brian Westbrook joins us. Hello, B. West.
Good afternoon, Mikey Miss. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for hanging out with us on a holiday weekend.
You know, I wouldn't have missed it, man. This is how I get my weekend started, by talking to you and just starting to enjoy the weekend. Right after I talk to you, then it'll be happy hour. And things are going. This is a good start.
All right, now this sounds like a farm weekend, a horse farm weekend for you.
Oh, absolutely. I'm here. I'm ready to go see my babies after this. I'll go see the little baby horses and see how they're doing.
Man, that is so
I'm
nice.
Super excited.
That is so nice. On the farm holiday weekend, you got some days to stretch your legs, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to go for a nice long trail ride tomorrow. Probably get my kids out there with me. So it ought to be fun.
Beautiful. So, B. West, you know, we're talking about the state of Philadelphia sports right now and where we're kind of stuck in neutral. And the only thing that can get us out of neutral right now, because the two sports that are in neutral, the Phillies, we have no idea what the hell's going to happen the rest of this summer. They've kind of underachieved. And then you got the Sixers, we're stuck in neutral with. We don't know what that's going to bring. The Flyers are way down. So the Eagles have become the salvation. And when you look at this, do you believe that this is the team that can lift the spirits of this city as we go into the autumn months?
I do. And it's weird to say that because I still have big time question marks about the quarterback. But when you look at what Howie Roseman has done with the pieces on the defensive line, with the pieces at the linebacker level, at the pieces in the secondary, adding Bradbury last week, with the pieces that you got in the wide receiver, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, you're bringing back a very good offensive line. You know, I still believe that Dallas Goedert will continue to get better. With the pieces that you have around your quarterback and for this football team, to me, he has put this team in a really great place so that if and when Jalen Hurts has a good season, this team is ready to rally around him and go on to bigger and better things. And so I'm super excited about the Eagles. You know, when I talk about all the sports teams in Philadelphia, obviously the basketball team just lost. You mentioned the baseball team not doing so well. You know, really, it comes down to our football team and what we're able to do on the field. And to me, you have the right pieces in place for it to have a nice long run this season.
What's really ironic about this situation, and it was an interesting story by Dave Zangaro of NBC Sports Philly, who we have on the show a lot, because Hurts gets paid relative peanuts still on this rookie contract, it allowed the Eagles to go all in on other positions that they needed in the offseason.
Yeah, and that's the thing of beauty. I mean, the best part about it, if you're Jalen Hurts, you got all the pressure on you, but you have all the opportunity in the world to just take this thing to the next level. Again, you put so many pieces around him that all he has to do is play his part. If he can figure out a way, and he's not a big turnover guy anyway, but if he can figure out a way just to get the ball out of his hands consistently and allow his offensive players to make plays for him, and allow this defense, who I think is going to be one of the best defenses in the NFC, to just go out there and do what they do, then I think this offense, this defense together has a great chance to win a bunch of games this season. And so I'm super excited about that opportunity. Here's the hard part for him, though, Mike. This is where the pressure comes. You know, all those good things that I just mentioned, all the good pieces that he has around him, it also means that there's no other excuses. You can't say that you haven't had the same offensive coordinator 2 years in a row. You can't say that you had to worry about this, that, and the other. You didn't have enough offensively. So now all the pressure is on him to perform this year, or, of course, the opposite. If he doesn't perform this year, then we'll be looking for a quarterback next year, of course.
So one of the interesting things you said is that you still have questions of whether that can happen. So right now you're not 100% on board that he's going to fast forward this team.
Well, you know, last time we saw him in a situation where he had to win a game by using his arm, and he just wasn't capable of doing that. Now, I mean, listen, a lot of different things can be said. You can say, okay, well, they didn't have A.J. Brown. Absolutely. They didn't have Bradbury on the defense side. Absolutely. We understand that. But he wasn't able to make the throws that were necessary for starting quarterback in a playoff game to get them to the next level. The biggest question, just like everyone else, this is not new. What I'm saying here is not new. But the biggest question is always going to be, can he win us a game with his arm? And if he can, then that takes this team to the level that they want to go to this year. And now you're growing with Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and Miles Sanders and all the other host of weapons that you have on this football team. Now you're talking about growing that instead of trying to find a different quarterback.
All right. So your instincts are, though, he's a guy that is going to be a quarterback for a pretty good team around him. And if he is really good, really big things can happen for the Eagles.
I mean, yeah. I mean, when you look at teams around the NFL, it comes down to the quarterback. We understand that. We know that. We understand that. But Howie Roseman had an interesting task this offseason. He had to put a team around Jalen Hurts that can support Jalen in every single way, because at this point, we don't know that Jalen can win the games just with his arm. So he did a really good job. I mean, you have to give Howie Roseman some credit for what he's been able to accumulate around Jalen Hurts. Here's the other thing, and this is the other side to that, and not really the bad side. If Jalen Hurts just doesn't figure it out this year, now you have the ability to potentially attract a free agent quarterback because of some of the weapons and the defense that you have. And, of course, if you're going to go through the draft and find a quarterback that way, you can do that as well. But, I mean, because of the weapons that you have on this team now and a very good offensive line, you can attract, in my opinion, a big-time free agent quarterback if that's the route that you want to go if Jalen Hurts doesn't work out.
Okay. All right. It sounds good.
But Mike, isn't it every team that's good? If you have questions about a team, it usually is a question about the quarterback.
Yeah,
right?
There's no question that the question about is about the quarterback. And I think they're good enough where he just in an okay year can get them into playoffs with 10 wins. And if he's really good, then better things can happen. But I agree with you. I don't know what to think about him. There are a lot of people out there that think that it's going to be smooth and he's going to step up and all that thing. I don't know that until I see it.
Well, nobody knows it. Nobody knows it unless you're out there, you're working with Jalen. And quite honestly, even if you're working with him during the summertime, you don't know because you don't have 11 guys on the other side trying to attack the quarterback. So we don't know that yet. But, I mean, listen. I do believe he's the type of guy that's going to work his butt off. And that matters to me. Whether you're going to work yourself, to get yourself better, whether you're able to say to yourself, I wasn't good enough in these areas last year, I have to improve. To me, he's the type of guy that's going to say those things, and he will improve. The biggest question is simple for us, and I think everyone knows it. How much can he improve? How much will he improve to get us across the line when we talk about when we get to August and September? That's the big question that nobody truly has the answer to.
Yeah. Let's go to the Sixers, but not in a conventional way. I'm going to talk about what Joel Embiid is tweeting. And I know a lot of people are bothered by this. Now, he keeps harping on this Miami thing. And we know that he's boys with Jimmy Butler. And he put out a tweet the other about Miami needing another star. And he's like invested in Miami and invested in the Butler thing. And it's almost like he's trolling with his tweets. Does that bother you at all?
It's difficult because it doesn't really bother me at all. What he said, that doesn't bother me. It just bothers me that he's still doing this, meaning the trolling part.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that bothers me. Because there's part of me that says, okay, when you're young, this is the type of things that you do. And maybe when you're not the leader that we all want you to be, maybe you do these types of things. But now you're a legit MVP candidate. Now you're the guy that we're depending on to lead our basketball team, the guy that we're depending on to bring other stars or make other stars want to come to Philadelphia. And I feel like you're still doing the childish stuff.
Yeah.
So, man, I couldn't care about that. I mean, I couldn't care less about the Miami thing. He's not going to Miami. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking that I want Joel Embiid to be a mature star. And part of that comes from the games, too. When I'm talking about mature star, that means I need your energy every night. And you have to understand that your energy is what's going to lead the team. That's what's going to lead the team. So you can't be this moody guy where I want to poke fun. I want to do this, that, and the other. All I want you to be is consistent, and part of my mind thinks that he can't be that when he's so worried about trolling and all that other stuff, that that's the only part that I think of when I read.
Yeah, see, when he does that, I think that's on the sly. He's trying to get people to be worried that he maybe would choose to force his way out, because that's what people automatically think. They go, "Well, Miami needs another start. It must mean he would like to play with Jimmy down there, and should we be worried about that?" And well, I think he loves that kind of attention. And that goes back to your point.
Yeah, but when you are, you know, when you're a Joel Embiid, when you have studied him like we have because we're here in Philadelphia, I don't think that's not my first instinct. To me, my first instinct is he's trolling. Because that's what he does. That's who he's been over the course of his career. That's my first instinct. I just wish he would stop it.
Connor Thomas is with us today. Connor, do you believe that that's gotten people, that automatically gets people to think that he's trying to force his way out?
Yeah, absolutely. Because people are, it's not a hard jump to make if you're just like snap reaction. It's just the thing. Like when you sit down and actually think about it, Brian's absolutely right. You know this, Mike. He's not going anywhere. But the fact that I agree with what you guys are saying, the fact that he's doing it, knowing what reaction he's going to get from a large portion of people on Twitter, it seems immature.
Yeah, that somehow floats his boat to get people to think that.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Some people just like messing. We see it with Kevin Durant, who goes back and forth with fans all the time. Like, so he's not the only guy doing it, but it is a mark of some immaturity in some sense.
How would you guys feel if he was just out there saying, "I want this star to come to Philly, that star to come to Philly"? To me, that's what, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's just as immature because, you know, you're talking about guys that are on other teams and things like that. But I would rather see that type of activity from our star when we need another star. No, yeah, Miami needs another star. Guess what? Philly does too. We do too.
Yeah.
We need another star too. So not only does Miami feel that way or should feel that way, we should feel that way too. And, of course, by the way, Miami's still playing and we're at home. So, I mean, let's not worry about Miami. Let's worry about our 76ers team.
Yeah.
Let's figure that out. And once we figure that out, we can try to solve problems for other people and other teams.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the phones here. And Brian Withers, of course, till 5 o'clock today. And we'll have all kinds of fun with Brian in some other areas that I'll get to in a second. Tom in South Jersey joins us. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike. What's up,
Tommy? How you doing?
Good. So just calling, now that Brian's here, just going to ask, last time I called in was last week, Wednesday. How did the rest of the Brian Dawkins golfing outing go?
Oh, it went great. It was a lot of fun that day. We got a lot of people came up and joined us, and it was very cool. I mean, from Donovan to Eddie George to Hugh Douglas, and everybody was great. I know, Brian, you had a blast. And I emceed the event afterwards, and I was making a comment. Brian, you were sitting with like 8 beefy ex-Eagles, and that was the beef table, brother.
I got a picture of Hugh Douglas, Donovan, Hollis Thomas, Jeremiah Trotter. I mean, they all, every last one of them looks like a D tackle. Corey Simon, they all look like D tackles from the back. It's not easy to keep working out. It's not easy to stop eating. And, you know, my guys, the guys that I love to be around, and of course, it's all jokes about weight and hairlines and gray hair. That's all they want to joke about, which is really what we did in the locker room anyway. So it was a great time. But yeah, some of those boys got really big.
You know, I was worried about you. I said, man, they might mistake you for an hors d'oeuvre. You know, anyway, those guys can eat.
They were already way, way bigger than me even when I was playing. But now that distance and between size has gotten even bigger because those boys are eating.
Yeah, so Brian, for Tom's question, what did that mean to be part of that golf tournament with B-Doc and all that, that whole charity angle to it?
Well, first of all, and I'll tell you about, you know, the charity first. I mean, Doc's his impact charity, he is helping the youth in Philadelphia, of course, Jacksonville, Florida, where he's from too, but in Orlando, Florida. But the youth in Philadelphia, I think it was George Washington High School, you know, they have been impacted by his program. And when I listened to some of those kids and the things that those young people that spoke eloquently, that went out of their way to be polite and very vocal about the way that Dawkins program has changed their life. And remember, these kids are going through COVID and all this other stuff. And I can't imagine being a teen and not being able to see my friends on a regular basis. that's what the kids have been struggling with just a little bit. And the program, the mental health that Brian Dawkins has been able to provide for those kids has been tremendous. So he's doing something special. So, I mean, Brian, big time props to Brian Dawkins. I'm sure you talked about that before. But just for me, being around the guys, again, you know, you take three things from playing football. Number one, you're going to take injuries, period. That's just going to happen. You're going to take some money, hopefully. The other thing you're going to take is memories. And when you get the bunch of guys like the old-time Eagles, even just guys that we played against, Eddie George, I saw Tim Brown. I didn't play against Tim Brown. But, you know, those types of guys, just get them around. And we're back in the locker room again.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you that feel. And for people that haven't been in the locker room, maybe it's that feel when you get around your college buddies or your high school buddies, when you're just like talking about old times and making fun of each other. That's the feel that you want to have. And really, you don't get that feel anyplace else as an athlete other than being around your guys, which is kind of difficult because you're not always around them. So it was a great opportunity. I had fun. And most importantly, it was for a great cause.
Yeah, it really was. Tom, continue. I'm sorry, Tom, we got sidetracked there, but go ahead. I'll give you your full time.
No, that's awesome. I'm glad everyone had a great time. Yeah, that's amazing. Everything he's doing, they're good to hear. I was also going to bring up a point. I don't know if you did last night, but I'm sure a lot of people did. I had to rewatch Goodfellas. And I was watching it. And something I never noticed that I never really like picked up on was early on, Henry's rolling in the fur coats. And I think it's Sonny. He's like, what am I going to do with all these fur coats in the middle of the summer? And he's like, all right, if you don't want them, I'll take them back. He's like, oh, no, I want them. I'll hang them in the freezer with the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And then when everyone's getting whacked at the whole montage at the end, you see Carbone hanging in there with the meat because he bought the fur coat.
Yeah.
And I never really put two and two together. Like,
yeah, and you realize that one of the guys that was wheeling those coats in, who it was?
It was
Big Pussy from The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, that was the only part he had in that.
Yes, I remember that. I was like, rewatching. Yeah. I better put that together. It's so great.
Yeah.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, Tommy, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, we talked a lot about Goodfellas yesterday with all the kinds of quotes and stuff, that scenes that came up because Ray Liotta passing away.
Yeah. Young man, too. 67. Man.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? You looked at him, he looked really like he had lived a harsh life.
Yeah.
You know? He started to look real bad.
Yeah.
All right, let's, by the way, I want to say one thing about Hugh Douglas. He came on the air with us and he was talking about his hair transplant. And I know you guys had to be relentless with that, but I actually think it looks cool. He said it was like really painful. So he had these little gray hairs put on the top, and it looks like he still has a shaved head, but just with a little fuzz covering. And it looks natural to me. I think it looks fantastic, actually, to blend in with these, like, he's got the gray beard going. Well, what were the jokes that you guys were hitting him with that?
Well, you know Trey Thomas, and Trey is all about jokes. And so he got after Hugh pretty well, pretty good. I mean, just, you know, it's weird because this is just a question that I had from the beginning. Like, if you got the hair transplant, why didn't you just put your shape up, you know, your lineup back down where it was supposed to be? He's still back pretty doggone far. I mean, it's not close up to the front of his hair.
No, it's not, but that's why it looked natural. Because he didn't have, like, he didn't put the line up like the James Brown line.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. I thought, that's what he wanted. He said it was extra painful. Yeah, I said, would you do it again? He said, absolutely not.
Yeah, he said it was really painful. But I got to tell you, when I saw him, I didn't even realize that he had gotten that. That's how natural I thought it looked, that he's got it so close cropped that it looks just like gray dust.
Yeah, I think the idea is that you want to, you know, look just like you have a shape up. But yeah, it doesn't look bad at all. But it's just, I mean, that's a lot of doggone work for a little bit of hair. I'll tell you that. Not a lot of hair.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Frank in South Jersey. Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Right. Frank. What's up, Frankie?
Frank.
Frank is not. See, you got to pay attention here. Yeah, you got to. You can't, you know, when you're on hold, you got to just turn the radio off because it'll confuse all of us.
Hey, Mike, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Talking about Joel Embiid, and, you know, I kind of feel like Doc is a no-nonsense type of coach in so many different ways. I mean, what did he go to Joel Embiid and say in these types of situations after, you know, Embiid says those types of things? Does he go to him and say, listen, you know, you are a star. Why are you commenting on a different team? Or they just let him just be himself?
You know what? It's a great question. I think Doc would have the clout to do something. I don't think he does. I think, you know, the pro player today, I just think they, you know, whatever. They let him fly instead of coming off like they're like the disciplinarian coach that they have to follow these rules. I coaches are in a tough spot with this type of player these days.
Yeah, that's
so I just think he lets it go.
You're right.
Yeah, but you know, like how many people, there's only a handful of coaches would have the clout to actually address it with them, and Doc's probably one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that as a player, he keeps pushing the envelope. The coach has to say something.
Yeah.
The coach has to say, yo, this is not what I need you to be doing.
Yeah, maybe that would come up in a casual conversation. Like if they were talking about something else, maybe Doc would like to slide that in. But I don't know if Doc can call him and say, yo, Joel, I saw your thing. Stop it. You know, I don't know you can do that to today's player.
Well, the owners certainly have the ability to do that. I don't know.
Yeah, but the ownership loves to be his buddy.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not going to say anything either. They like hanging out with him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right, let's take a break. 610-632-0975. You want to come in and talk to Brian Westbrook today. And I got some this or that questions for you, Brian. We're doing this or that, like these choices they have to make, like simple Perfect. Food choices, like it's a Memorial Day, like I go to you, hot dog or hamburger, where are you going?
Oh, it's easy, hamburger.
You're going burger.
Hamburger.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, stuff like that. Mike Missinelli Show continues after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Oh, rock lobster. Oh, the B-52s. Oh, my God. It's 4:30. It's time for a Twitter poll update. And that is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown, PA. Connor Thomas with us today. Connor, what do the numbers say?
Thanks, Mike. Our Twitter poll again. Is the state of Philadelphia sports right now worthy of what a market and fan base like Philly deserves? It shifted even further in the direction it was heading. Over 600 votes on this one, and 79% are saying, no, we deserve better, leaving 21% of responders to say, yes, teams have upside.
All righty. Thank you. Now, there's a news item that just broke. I have to bring it up in the context of what we talked about yesterday with the tragedy in Uvalde, Texas. And I know this has to hit home, really home with Brian, who as the dad of two younger children. Gabe Kapler wrote in a blog. He has a website, and he said he was not okay with the state of this country. He felt like a coward for not protesting the lack of delivery on the promise of what our national anthem represents. He said he should have made some kind of protest during the playing of the national anthem on Wednesday. Here's what he had to say. When I was the same age as the children in Uvalde, my father taught me to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance when I believed my country was representing its people well, or to protest and stay seated when it wasn't. I don't believe it is representing us well right now. Every time I place my hand over my heart and remove my hat, I'm participating in self-congratulatory glorification of the only, in caps, country where these mass shootings take place. On Wednesday, I walked out into the field. I listened to the announcement as we honored the victims in Uvalde. I bowed my head. I stood for the national anthem. Metallica riffed on the City Connect guitars. And he said he needed to make some kind of a gesture, but he was conscious that it would be misunderstood as an act meant to be offensive to the military, to the veterans, and to themselves. And he said, my brain said drop to a knee. My body didn't listen. I wanted to walk back inside. Instead, I froze. I felt like a coward. So, but I am not okay with the state of this country. Now, Brian, you know, from a personal level or to react to that, do you have any reaction?
Well, you know, it's not up to Gabe Kapler just to handle these problems. And obviously, everyone's going to feel a lot different, you know, and react different and do, you know, protests or whatever they're going to do in reaction to this. We obviously understand, you know, I have three young kids, kids, 8, 5, and 3. And so, you know, it was just the other day. I went to my daughter's school yesterday, and I had to go drop off something during the school day, and the doors are locked, meaning the classroom doors are locked. The front door to the school is wide open. The classroom doors are locked. And, you know, it just, it kind of just hit me right in the face again, like, wow, this is where we're at. And, you know, having to kind of have a conversation with my 8-year-old, like, okay, you know, something crazy happens at school, you know, protect yourself, you know, get out of eyes, you all those crazy things. Now, those are not conversations that I want to have with my 8-year-old, just like anyone else. I've actually have tried to protect my 8-year-olds from getting older, not wanting them to do teenage type of things, which is very hard for a little girl at this point in time. But, you know, so I try to protect them from the news as much as I can. But of course, you have to share some things with them, especially if you're going to hear it at school. And, you know, it's fearful. What do we do as a country to change these types of things? And of course, like I mentioned, it's not totally up to the act. It's not up to us to protest to make things change. Our lawmakers have the responsibility to protect us, and sometimes it's protecting us from ourselves. And so I would hope that our lawmakers will start and begin to make a decision to take action to protect our children. Our most valuable assets that we have in this country is our children. And I just hope that our lawmakers begin to understand that, and not only understand it, because I think they understand it, but begin to take action in that way. And if we can do that, then we'll be having a different conversation later on. But we haven't seen that type of action yet, and it certainly is sad.
You know, where it comes into play, and I've talked to a lot of people who have young children and they have to drop off at school, and people are terrified now to drop their kids off to school. Mm-hmm. And I know you've got to kind of feel some of that same emotion.
I do. I am terrified. I was terrified when I was able to just walk into my child's school. And a big part of their school was like they want the parents to be involved. And that's why they allow access the way that they do. But now the same access that I enjoy and I appreciate gives access to crazy crimes like we had down in Texas. And so, you know, now I'm starting to think totally different. In fact, our school sent out a notice and they're trying to get basically a group of dads to be able to walk around the perimeter of the school and almost be a patrol of sorts for the school. You know, listen, we as a country, we have a long ways to go to be where we want to be in so many different ways. And the things that we can handle immediately, we should be able to handle. Those things that so many of the people in our world want, we should go ahead and be able to handle those things. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, they haven't been handled, and that's disappointing and very, very scary as a parent, to the point where you, as a parent, you start making a decision like, hey, you know, it's right before the holidays. Maybe I shouldn't even send my kid to school. It's not worth them going to school and being in that type of environment, especially after such a tragedy. And listen, I'm not the only one. We have a bunch of parents out there. I have to believe every parent and, you know, every person out there understands where I'm coming from, understands where that fear is. And it takes action, it's not the parents. It's certainly our lawmakers. So that's where that's at. You know, it's just sad. It's hard to even talk about it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate your comments on that. So thank you for that. Let's go back to the phones. Frank in South Jersey. Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Frank?
All right, so I got a couple things, Mike, for you.
Yes, sir.
Earlier, you guys were talking about the breakfast thing. I can't believe you didn't bring up the Scrapple part, man.
Yeah, I'm not a Scrapplesman.
Why not?
Yeah, I don't know. I just never got
it. You don't know what's in it?
No. It just never appealed to me. Like, pork roll really appeals to me. So there's no need for me to go to the Scrapple. Like, I got the pork roll and the sausage and the bacon that are ranked way ahead of the Scrapple. So the Scrapple really hasn't done anything for me over the years.
And then my other question, Mike, for you is the Jalen Hurts thing, a little earlier on social media, they had a ranking of the top 40 quarterbacks.
Yeah, that was by Chris Sims, though, wasn't it?
Now, is it because of who he's surrounded by, or is it him himself?
Chris Sims did the same thing last year to Hurts. I don't think he likes Jalen Hurts at all. He's got a couple of more novice quarterbacks ranked ahead of him. So okay. I don't know. I think it might just be a Chris Sims thing. I think he should be ranked higher than where he was.
I mean, is he our future, though? I mean, can we honestly...
Well, I don't know. We'll find out this year, won't we? Yeah, you know, this is the big test year. You just got to wait and see. They put enough talent around him where he can keep the job if he succeeds.
Yeah, especially if you like Scrapple.
Yeah, you're a Scrapplesman, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. All right. All right, Frank, you got it. Brian, Chris Sims. I don't know. Like, he had some ridiculous guys ahead of him, though. Did you see that list?
Yeah, I did see the list. And, you know, when you are an old quarterback, you look a little bit closer at the intangibles, and you look a little bit closer at the fundamentals of a quarterback. And I don't know that he sees the value of being able to improve the same way that I'm hoping that Jalen Hurts can improve. I think that ability to improve from year to year with better weapons around him. And certainly this other part, and I had a question for you about this too, but you know, the other part is now Nick Sirianni knows the exact type of quarterback that he is. And I don't know that we go back to that run heavy system that we use kind of towards the latter, maybe that the halfway point on in the season. But I think at some point you got to figure out if Jalen Hurts is a guy. Remember last year at the beginning, they wanted to run that old Colts system where your quarterback was the guy, like Phillip Rivers and Andrew Luck, things like that.
Yeah.
At some point, they realized that wasn't going to work. But my question to you was, what is Nick Sirianni's approach? Because, I mean, you can't go back to this run-heavy thing because you got Devontae Smith, first-rounder. You may have Rager, first-rounder. And you got A.J. Brown, who you just traded everything for. You can't go back to that run-heavy system, can you?
No.
Or do you go back to a place where you say, well, we got to find out about Hurts if he can be the guy? And let's say he can't, then we'll make the shift again like we did last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to play itself out. When it comes to the rankings, though, like here are four of the quarterbacks he had ranked. He had Hurts ranked 25th. So he had 24th, he had Trevor Lawrence. Now, I don't know if Trevor Lawrence should be ahead of Hurts at this point. Right? Unless you're projecting, right? Justin Fields at 23. Now, Justin Fields hasn't done enough to earn two spots ahead of Hurts. Zach Wilson at 22. And Daniel Jones at 21. So, like, those four guys should not be ranked ahead of Hurts at this moment, should they?
Well, out of those four guys, three of those guys, we really haven't seen very much at all from, right? So, with three of those guys, we haven't. We know who Daniel Jones is, though. I mean, we know who he is. We know that he's not good enough. Now, he may have a little bit better stats, and he may be a more complete quarterback. But even if I had to compare or choose Daniel Jones or Jalen Hurts from last year, I'm taking Jalen Hurts because at least the Jalen Hurts that we got last year gives you the running ability.
Yeah.
We know that Daniel Jones for the last couple of years, he just hasn't been good at all. So it's hard for me to look at that list that Chris Sims puts together and say if he puts Daniel Jones above Jalen Hurts, that he really, this list should be really considered because that's just not even.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I didn't pay that much attention. It doesn't seem like he likes Jalen Hurts, and that's how he reflects it.
Well, but he may be only looking at the true pocket passer type of intangibles.
Yeah.
But you have to also look at the things that he does when he's able to bring to a team. He was able to elevate a team. He was able to do that. He able to keep a team together, and he ran the ball well. So I mean, you have to give him some credit for those things as well.
Okay, let's take a quick break. 610-620-975. Brian Westbrook is with us till 5 o'clock on this Memorial Day weekend. We'll back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
New wave. We got a little new order. What is that?
Bananarama.
Oh, it's Bananarama. Summer. Oh, Bananarama was one of my go-tos in that era.
It's not bad.
Love those bands back there that popped out in a new wave.
Is that your go-to?
No, my go-to. That was the stage. Bananarama, Depeche Mode, Flock of Seagulls, Duran Duran. All those. Uh-huh. There was a station in Philadelphia that played all that stuff. The Cure.
I like
Bananarama.
It. Man. I like it.
All right, Brian, let me give you some this and that. First of all, are you a charcoal or a gas grillsman?
You know, that's a good question. So when I'm in New York, I am charcoal all the way. But when I'm here in Maryland, I'm always gas. So if I had to choose between the two, I would probably go charcoal. I love the taste of charcoal.
Yeah, I agree with you, but like it's like I was saying, that's a production more. Guess Grill, you get just fired up and you go boom. All right, so are you a hamburger or hot dogs man?
Hamburger, and here's the reason why. If I eat a hot dog, I'm going to need two or three hot dogs. If I eat a hamburger, a good hamburger, I probably only need one and I'll be set, squared away to go. So I'm going my hamburger.
Okay.
Correct.
Pancake or waffle?
I love pancakes. But I do love a good Belgian waffle, though. I rarely ever, I feel like when I eat a waffle, I have to be like, you know, at brunch. Waffle is a brunch meal to me. If I go out to brunch with my wife or something like that, pancakes are like a normal everyday weekend type of thing. So I probably go.
Yeah, see, Connor's a waffles man.
Yeah, the waffle holds the syrup better.
With the
pancake, it's all over. You got to sop it up.
It soaks into the pancake. The
soaks into the waffle too, but it also sits in there.
It sits on top. It doesn't soak in. It sits on top in little pools.
Soaks in a little bit.
Come on, man. All right, breakfast meat, your choice, Brian.
Bacon.
Bacon over sausage?
There's no doubt about it.
Over pork roll?
Of course. Absolutely. Not even close. Bacon. Bacon is the number one meal.
Yeah, see, I can tell you, I like bacon, but there is nothing on this earth that is better as a breakfast meat than pork roll.
I don't know if I ever had a pork roll.
Oh, my God. See, you're a Maryland guy, so probably you haven't.
I haven't.
Yeah.
Tell me what's in a pork roll. Is it just like...
It's in a roll. It's in like a loaf, and you slice it and you fry it up.
Oh, yeah, nah. Bacon.
Well, I'm telling you.
Bacon,
this is the thing. If you're not a pork rollsman and you taste it, you're going to go, what was I missing all these years?
But I do love the pork, though. I love the pig, so I can't...
All right. Okay. Tacos or wings as bar food?
Ooh, that's a tough one there. I'm going wings. I love tacos. I don't like tacos. I like tacos in the house. I don't like taco at somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
I like tacos in the house.
You don't like tacos somewhere else, like a taqueria?
No.
Oh, man, genuine. Food truck taqueria?
I only like the hard tacos. Sometimes when you go to the taco places, they only give you the soft
They're not meant to be hard. It's supposed to be two corn tacos that are folded.
I only respect the hard taco. I don't respect the soft taco.
The soft taco gets no respect.
The soft taco is genuine taco. The other thing's fugazi taco.
The soft taco is not really. It's kind of like a sandwich. Is what a soft taco is. A hard taco is that's a real taco.
All right, ice cream cone or dish?
Cone. Come on, you got to have a cone. And I'm talking about a waffle cone too. Yeah.
Okay, you're a waffle conesman.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's get back to the phones. We go to Dave in Center City. What's up, Dave? Dave has an empty telephone line. I can't believe it. That's like a, you don't know what a bonus that is? You go to Dave and there's no Dave?
Yeah, but it's an eye for an eye. We lost Brian, too.
Dave took out Brian.
Yeah.
Oh, we lost Brian.
It was a twofer.
Uh-oh. We had an explosion on the phones. Mike in Creekside. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Oh, Mike to the rescue.
Yes.
How you doing, Grill?
What's going on, Mike?
First of all, to all my veterans that gave it all, I have to shout out to them on this Memorial Day.
Yeah.
All gave some gave all. So in remembrance of all the veterans that gave all.
Good stuff by you.
Now, I have to disagree with you in baseball. I still like manufacturing runs. Because I think that's what's wrong with the Phillies. Everybody's coming up trying to hit a home run. And either you strike out or you punch out, you're overswinging or whatnot. That's it with baseball. I like the old-fashioned way. Let's get the speed up at the top that can hit. And more non-hittings down at the bottom of the lineup.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, Mike. The game has changed for forever. It's not going to happen that way.
I know. The game's always changed. I don't know how many times you done told me that, but it doesn't make it right.
You can bang your head against the wall. You can accept the changes.
Okay, now, with the Eagles, I think they should take Jalen Hurts, and instead of trying to make him a franchise quarterback, just make him a game manager. because I do believe this is the best defense right now on paper since Buddy Ryan and Marion Campbell. It might even rival, depending on the coach, the old Bears under Buddy Ryan.
Yeah, I think you're going too far. But yeah, the Bears' defense under Buddy Ryan is the best defense of all time, maybe.
Yeah.
Come on, Mike.
I do believe that this defense right now, with the front four or three or however many, because that's the only thing that that's still out to question, is what kind of defense or hybrid or whatever is going on that we don't. But that's the reason why I said right now on paper, according to the personnel.
Yeah, I don't know if you win with game managers anymore, and I hear where your point is. The quarterback's got to make some plays for you to win. You don't win with game managers anymore.
Yeah, the quarterback has to make some plays. We see all these teams, all the good teams. Look at the last Final Four teams in almost every year of the last 10 years. It's because of the quarterback.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got to have a quarterback.
All right, Brian, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for spending the Memorial Holiday weekend with us and have a great time on the farm this weekend.
Hey, Mike, I appreciate it. I want to make a rule. I wish they would make this a law. If you have a Monday off, just like this week, the Friday has to come with it. If it's a Monday off, the Friday should be off, too.
Friday is off for most people. In fact, there are three people in the building right here that I think we have. And I'm one of them. Connor's the second one.
There you go.
All right, man. All right. We'll talk to you. There he is. Hey, Brian Westbrook joining us. And at 5 o'clock, all right, let's make this a special Memorial Day weekend Friday show. So if you're down there, you're chilling, maybe you're on the deck. You're on your deck right now, wherever you are. With an overhang. I don't know if it's raining down there or not, if you're at the shore.
Yeah, I don't know. It was raining pretty heavy here. But
is it raining heavy here?
It was last time I checked out.
All right. Well, anyway, that's nice. If you're on your deck, you got a cover, you listen to the show, you can hang with us for the last hour, 5 o'clock hour. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. Let me tell you about our Fanatic deal of the week. The Fanatic deal of the week is, speaking of the shore, one same day ride and water park ticket to Maurice Piers for $70. And that's a great deal because it's usually $120. The ticket grants access to unlimited rides on all three piers and both water parks. You can check it out right now on our website, 975thefanatic.com. The keyword is deal. And get your tickets before they're gone. Supplies are very limited. And also, I want to tell you that Fanatic Friday is presented by PumpManPhilly.com. That's right. If you need a water pump expert for your facility, 24/7 emergency repair or pump replacement, count on Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow. Mike Missinelli Show, it continues right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Yeah, it's the weekend coming our way. It actually started. It started yesterday for most people. You know, take off Thursday, you get to Friday, you get to Monday, you turn into a beautiful, like, five-day situation.
Yeah, I had a bit of a rough wake up this morning for the morning show because some of my buddies were off Friday, so I was out a little later than I probably should have been.
Okay.
It happens.
So you're on, you know, like, kind of dead batteries right now?
No, I'm good.
Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. All right. 610-622-0975 is how you get in. And we could kick this around. You can kick around anything you want to about the state of Philly sports and Joel Embiid and all that kind of stuff. The way I see the state of Philadelphia sports right now is, and we like to take inventory of it every now and then, is that we are stuck in neutral, and the only thing that can pull us out of that gear is the Eagles season. So we had a caller earlier today say that he thinks they can get off to a 6-1 start. Let me just go down the list to find out if that in fact is feasible. All right, so let's start with the Lions. At the Lions, you're feeling W there, right?
Definitely.
Vikings at home.
Yeah, I don't trust Kirk Cousins for them.
That's a Monday night game, right?
Yeah, that's Monday night. I like them to win that one.
All right, so that's 2-0 out of the gate. Commanders there.
Yeah, should be able to handle that one.
You got that W.
Yep, nice 3-0
start. Slate Carson.
Yeah, no problem.
Jags coming here.
It's interesting. The Dougie P comeback game. I don't know what Trevor Lawrence is in his second year with a better coach.
They stink.
Yeah, that's a trap game there.
That's not a trap game.
Keep your eye on that one.
So what are you saying, L?
I'm not, but it's going to be closer than.
Oh, are you saying W?
4-0, but it's closer.
Yeah,
than you,
you got them starting 4-0. All right, this brings the 6-1 into play. Commanders
split just because it's division and that's a talented.
Oh wait
roster.
A minute! Before the Jags, I'm sorry.
Oh,
the Commanders are before the Jags. So that's my bad.
Yeah,
no, what
no.
did you say? You
we
said
did
win
that
there.
Already.
Oh, we
yeah,
did.
Got the win there.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Then after the Jags, the Cardinals in Arizona.
No Hopkins, but tough road game. That's now.
Okay, so that's now 4-1. Cowboys, Sunday night game.
That's in Philly?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll give the edge to Philly on that one.
You got them 5-1, and so I guess the only thing that is left now, the Steelers come here.
Man, the Steelers are weird with that quarterback situation. I don't know what Kenny Pickett is.
That's a W. You got him 6-1 to start.
Let's
not stop there then, because then the Texans.
That's a win.
All right, so that's 7-1, mind you.
It's possible.
And now the Commanders coming here.
No, I'm saying split. I'm saying split. You're welcome in to try and make it up 16-1.
So you definitely have them 7-1.
I think it's very possible that they win that combination.
They're not good enough to be 7-1.
They're not, but the schedule is not hard enough for them to not be.
No,
they ain't getting a lot of benefits of this schedule, Mike.
All right. Let's go to Spanky Cobbs Creek. Spanky!
Hey, Mike. You know, it's crazy that you're talking about barbecuing. I'm trying to get this grill up my steps right now.
Oh, you got a new grill?
Yeah, no, what happened was my granddaughter had a birthday party last year. My daughter borrowed it there since she worked at a daycare. I just went and got it back, and I'm trying to put it back in my backyard, but I can't get it up the steps because the wheel is broke.
Oh, that's so annoying. You need help.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll get it up there.
All right.
Just for a minute. Mike, you know what? Real quick, since we're talking about Ray Liotta, right? You know what my favorite part of the movie is on Goodfellas? When they come back from the police station and Henry get out and he looking for the coke that he had stashed and Karen already flushed it down the toilet.
Yeah.
And they both start crying in each other's arms on the floor.
Yeah.
You don't got no money. That is a classic. Every time I see that part, I cry.
Hey, man, that's supposed to be a heart-wrenching. You're sitting there laughing at this?
Yeah, it's just funny. it's classic when they both crying in each other's arms like that. And he got to go to Paulie and go begging for money after he told him not to mess with the junk.
Yeah, he did. It could be my son, could be anybody. Here's a related scene where she goes, "You're not going out tonight," and he goes, "Karen, grow up." And she goes, "Yeah, well, I'm still going to go out, not to out your keys, you're not." And she throws.
Hey, Mike, was Janice Karen's girlfriend? Was that her friend?
Janice.
Janice, the one that was bagging up the coke for him. That was the one that she had on the side.
That was the girl from that's Mazur, Debbie Mazur.
Right, but was that Karen's friend? Because she was
no, it wasn't. No.
Okay.
No, it wasn't Karen's friend. She was on the Gumar side.
Oh, okay.
They had a little party with all the Gumars. They had the little dog.
I thought she was one of her girlfriends and that she stabbed her.
No, it wasn't her girlfriend.
Okay, all right.
I just want you to let you know that in 2B, Rossi, you have a whore.
That's a good one.
You have a whore living in 2C, Rossi.
You can watch that movie over and over, and it's still a classic, man. Rest in peace, Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
Listen, Mike, I said I wanted to get on with Brian, but I want to talk about Jalen, right? Mm-hmm. You're right. There's no excuses for him this year. But I don't want no game manager, though. He got to go and win games.
I agree.
He has to go and win games. If we was going to bring in a game manager, then we should have just had a backup dude in there. We're not spending money on no game manager. I want my quarterback to go in there, and when the game is on the line, he got to go win it with his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't want him here, Mike. I don't.
Well, this is what we're going to see. I mean, he's got enough weapons now where he's going to have to deliver it. It should be easier for him to deliver the football, but you're right. He's got
in the conference title games.
Yeah.
Man, swinging that ball, man. I want a gunslinger. And listen, I don't care. I don't mind if he go and win it with his legs, too. I get that. But I want to see him throw that ball, man. If he can't do it, he got to go.
I got you, man. All right, let me ask you a couple this or that questions.
Good, good. I'm glad. I'm waiting.
Football or basketball?
Football.
We going football or basketball?
Yeah, like, okay. Yeah. I'm big on the Eagles. All I love right. the Pistons, but I'm big on the Eagles.
Cake or pie?
Pie.
You're a piesman?
Yeah, I'm a sweet potato pie, man.
All right, you got it, Spank. Have a great weekend.
You too, Mike.
All right, there's Spanky with the pie. Now, that's a tough call for me.
The cake or the pie?
Yeah, because I'm a both.
Yeah, this is easy for me. I'm not a piesman. I'm cake all the way.
I don't understand that. Because a lot of people say they're not a pie. What is wrong with a pie?
I don't do
like
the filling.
A pie is also what's wrong with the filling?
I just don't like it. I don't know. I don't like the sweet filling of
a
like
cherry
whatever it is.
Pie or a no, blueberry man. Pie.
But I also don't do the Boston cream donuts. Like I don't do any of the filled donuts with the cream inside or anything like that. Or an eclair. I don't do
pumpkin
those.
Pumpkin pie.
No man, not a piesman. Do the cakes like all the
pumpkin
like
pie nice, doesn't have filling. It's just a
but
filling.
Still, it's just I don't know the consistency of the middle of it. I don't know. I like the cake.
Oh man, I'm a huge pie man.
Nah, I'm good on the
cherry pie.
Pie,
man. When I was a kid, I lived on cherry, but I can't choose the pie over the cake. If it's a good cake, I'm in.
And the cake is more versatile. I feel like there are a bunch of different types of cake.
No, I see nice pop piece pie with a scoop of ice cream on the side. Come on,
yeah, but you can do ice cream cake
a la mode.
You can do cake with ice cream inside of it.
I don't know.
The cake is just the more advanced option.
All right, cheesesteak or hoagie?
Hoagie.
You go hoagie over cheese.
Yeah, I go hoagie.
Really?
Yeah, man. I'm a hoagies man.
Oh, my God.
No, it's close, but like, I'm also like, I kind of live in the Andrew Sauchunas school of cold food greater than hot food. So that's why the hoagie has me a little bit.
Okay. How about this one? This is, I struggle with this. Call or text?
I like the call, man. I really do like the
See,
call.
See, I hate the call now.
Why do you hate
now
the call?
Now that the text has taken over, I can't waste idle moments in a conversation. I'd rather just get the thought out, boom, boom, had the thought come back to me, boom, boom. I don't want to spend time because the conversation can wander or it can get awkward.
That's true, but if you're the thing with the call is you get the immediate response. Like the text, a lot of times you send the text, you wait 5 minutes to hear anything. You're sitting there in limbo. The call, it's no, you don't ask a question and wait 10 minutes.
I like, never answer my phone.
Never, like nothing. They'll go, you answer it. Yeah, my buddy stopped answering me too because I call too much. But
I don't answer the phone. And if it's somebody I know, you know, I'll go. Okay, well, I'll get back to him. Because I'm not ready at that moment to take the phone call to have a conversation. I'm chilling. I'm doing something.
Okay, where are you on the FaceTime?
I'd never do FaceTime.
Not once. Okay, no. That's like the new
I don't
thing,
like
FaceTime
my face on the screen.
See,
which is why I don't do it.
I feel like you say it 20 years ago, and you're like, oh, you could talk to someone face to face. It seems so cool, and then so many people are out on it.
See, I might change my mind on that because now I got the eye thing with the correction of the eye. Cause my eyes were hooded, and it looked like I looked grotesque on a screen. So now that I got the eyelid thing, I may look at myself as well. That looks a little better.
Okay.
I can't stand to look at myself on screen or video. Like, I never watch this show.
Really? Never?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I can't stand to look. I can't do it. I can be on TV, but I can't watch myself on TV.
Okay. I guess it's similar to, like, people not wanting to listen to their voice back because the sound of your own voice bothers you.
Yeah, well, I've recorded a few of these shows, but for, like, time capsule purposes.
Okay.
Like, I don't record them to look at them.
Just in case somewhere down the road, if someone's like, hey, go back to those days. Yeah,
there you go. You can watch it. But I won't watch it.
You won't even sit back and...
No, and I did a nightly TV sports anchor. Now, they wanted me to watch that because they wanted me to see like what I was doing right or wrong. Well, because I was on the news team. You were too young to remember those days.
Yeah.
I actually was a sports anchor on a news team.
But you wouldn't...
On PHL 17.
You wouldn't like going back and watching those?
I would hate it. I hate it.
I gotcha.
You know, I just go, God, I look terrible. You know, like one of those deals.
Yeah, everyone has those things with themselves. Though.
All right. Mike in media. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, Mike. and Connor, how you guys doing?
What's going on, Mike? How you doing?
Mike, healthy and happy recovery. I
know. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, I got the cast is below the console here. It's being rested on a stool today.
There you go. I had double knees.
Oh,
at the same
how
time.
Long of a recovery was that? My buddy just went through that. He had double knees, and he got taller.
This was in 2013, and they did it at Springfield Hospital, took me to Taylor, and I stayed there for 2 weeks. So I was, you know, up and out of there.
Yeah, but that's a serious surgery to get the replacement surgery.
You really don't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah.
I had to apologize to a lot of nurses.
Wow.
But my point on Embiid is, I think it was just a backhanded shot at, you know, Miami doesn't need one more star. Maybe he looked hard and say, we need one more star.
You know? It's a subliminal message to someone when he says right. Miami needs one more star. In other words, he wants people to think that it's him and that he might want to join them, you know, and it's just a way of somebody getting more people to kiss your ass, basically.
He's just putting something out there to make everybody think.
Yeah.
Also, a big fan of Ray Liotta. I thought he played a great bad guy. I know your show yesterday or the day before, whenever he passed, was kind of committed to him. Did you ever see Turbulence?
No. But he played a bad guy in Wild Things. What was that called? The first one he did. With Melanie Griffith, we were talking about it yesterday.
This was a movie where he was a prisoner on a plane, mm-hmm. and it was Christmas time. The whole plane was decorated in lights and Christmas balls. He breaks free and kills everybody on the plane except Lauren Holly. And she has to land the plane.
Wow.
And he was just a psychopath.
Something Wild is what I'm talking about. That was like one of his first movies where he played kind of a villain. He played a criminal husband.
One more thing I wanted to say. I am just looking forward to the Philadelphia Eagles being a good to great defense again. I understand they put everything around Jalen. That's on Jalen. It's time for him to grow.
Yeah,
I want the Eagles to be the Eagles that are getting into the backfield,
mm-hmm.
that are covering routes, and just being the Eagles that I remember. I didn't get in before Brian left. I had the pleasure of going to the 1980 NFC Championship game. All I remember was it was cold because I was with my dad and his best friend.
Yeah,
but Brian was my best all-time Eagle, but. The Eagles' defense of years ago, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, maybe we'll see. I think we had Mike saying it was the 86 Bears.
I don't know about that.
You got to take a big leap. Like, let's look at it, okay? Because they got Hassan Reddick, who's going to help, obviously. But they're going to have the Brandon Graham sweat thing. You know, I guess they can get away with that. And Fletcher Cox, is he still going to be efficient? And the rookie, how good is he going to be? Like, you can't anoint that right yet as a great defense.
No, and certainly not as the greatest defense of all time, arguably.
Now, on paper, the Slay-Bradbury situation looks formidable. They're also, a little, you know, another year older. We'll see about that. Their safeties are just average.
Yeah, well, cornerback signings or trades or whatever in the past in Philadelphia mm-hmm. Eagles history, sometimes they look good on paper and don't exactly work out great. So we'll see.
Yeah, by the way, he mentioned Lauren Holly, our last caller. Very underrated.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Lauren Holly.
She she was married to Jim Carrey for a while, I think.
Oh, okay.
You know who she is.
I'd know her if I saw her.
Beautiful, very underrated.
Okay, I'll look her up.
No, I don't want movies.
Do some research.
Yeah, you probably have seen her. It actually says that she was born in Bristol, Pennsylvania.
Really?
Yes.
What are the chances?
I never heard that. Maybe she left like really early. She grew up in upstate New York, so she might not have been. I don't know why her parents would have been in Bristol, Pennsylvania. But she's in Dumb and Dumber, so you know who she is.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I got you.
That's how she met Carrie.
That makes sense.
Right? Okay, let's go Austin in Fairmount. Austin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Austin.
Hey, Mikey Miss, how's it going?
What's going on, Austin?
First time, long time. Thanks, buddy. I want to give a shout-out to Connor. We played fourth-grade football together for the Medford Indians.
Wow, the Mets and Indians.
Look at that.
Yeah, pretty proud of this guy coming into his own, doing pretty well with the job, I'd say.
Let me guess. The Mets and Indians, you had all the best equipment. You played on all the best fields.
Nah.
All right?
Nah.
You spoiled right? Medford kids. Here's your brand new helmet, Skippy.
They bought us a new field. Like, we built a new field, I think, when we were in, like, sixth grade. But, like, it took a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, but
Connor was our tight end, and, you know, we're only, like, I think, like, 9 or 10 years old. And we ran, like, probably like 3 passing plays all year. I think Connor caught every single one of them.
He's a tight end.
And you couldn't play wide receiver. They weren't running. All we had was the PA waggle pass. Was all we had. And it was like a 5-yard, like,
that's the most useless youth league position I've ever heard, tight end.
I threw some blocks.
Of course, that's all you threw.
Yeah, when I was running that jet sweep off the corner, he was sealing it pretty well.
So he was the running back and you were the grunt, Connor?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Somebody's got to do the dirty work.
So yesterday, I think you and Tyrone were talking about Goodfellas versus Pulp Fiction, who's got
the most quotable. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And obviously, Pulp Fiction is amazing, but I think Goodfellas is one of my top 3 favorite movies of all time. But I think Goodfellas has got to take the cake because it has the best quote out of both movies.
What's that?
The best quote is when Paulie's talking to Henry Hill. He's saying, and he's like, and you learn the 2 most important things in your life. Keep your mouth shut and never read out
around your friends, and always keep your mouth shut, which is the same thing.
Well, yeah, that is, actually, when you think about it,
it's the same thing. So it's really one big lesson.
Yeah, it really is. My last thing I just wanted to talk about is just Harper and the Phillies. What more can this guy do? I mean, obviously, he has the hardware that says he's doing it because he won the MVP last year. But, I mean, the other night in the Braves, he had all 4 RBIs, 4 for 4. Puts him up with the go-ahead home run, but it almost like it's why can't I the what I'm looking at is why can't more of the guys on the team take a page out of his book, where he's a guy that can hop over a first pitch all the time. Like, you know, I think that home run he hit off of Jensen was a first pitch bomb. So it just seems like guys get up there, and especially like guys like Hoskins, you know, always looking a strike straight down the middle. And I think, I mean, I definitely...
Yeah, well, I mean, there's 2 schools of thought on that. One is that you want to work a pitcher and you want to get him in an advantageous count. I was always an advocate of first pitch swinging if it's there. But the other side of it is you want to put together good at-bats and you don't want to be too anxious. But yeah, I agree. I'm not against a first pitch swinger at all.
No, it doesn't bother me one bit.
Yeah, there's a problem. Like, Castellanos is a lifetime 300 hitter. It's problematic that he doesn't believe he can hit right now. And I watched him take a couple swings. He took a feeble swing on a ground ball, like late in the game, feeble swing, and a ground ball up the middle. Like, he's not attacking like he normally would. And when you don't attack, it means you're not confident. Schwarber is worrying me because he's lost his ability to be the hitter that he is. And I don't know what that's about. That worries me more. Because some guys, the guys will hit a spot where, for whatever reason, they're not the same hitter.
Yeah, but the strength of this lineup is supposed to be, you're supposed to have enough of those guys with Castellanos, Schwarber, Harper, Hoskins.
Schwarber, yeah, well, what I'm saying is I'm more worried that Schwarber is at .197.
But he can't be a .197 all year, can he?
Well, I don't know. You know, the point is, when you get into a cycle like that and you start believing you can't hit, you don't hit.
Yeah, we saw it. Bone got sent down.
You know, guys
year,
like get up in age, they go, I've forgotten how to hit. Am I over my, you know, all those thoughts, because you're neurotic as hell as a baseball player about hitting. And all those thoughts cloud your whole brain.
That's why I like pitching.
610-632-0975. As we come down to home stretch, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The biggest names in Philly sports talk are on 97.5 The Fanatic. The John Kincaid Show.
Beating the Braves and splitting that series in Atlanta, I think that's a big thing. Now rolls you into the Mets. This is a critical series for the Phillies. I'm going to go as far as to say, if you want me to believe for the rest of the summer that you have any pulse in the division, go and win the series this week.
The Anthony Gargano Show.
I got to tell you, I was supremely impressed that Nola comes out and throws an absolute gem last night. I was really... really impressed, man. They needed that game bad. That was a game that they needed.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Our only salvation right now is whether the Eagles can be as good as we think they're going to be. And whether the Eagles can actually be a contender next year. Whether they can win the division. They, I think, offer the most hope right now. It used to be the Sixers. But let's face it, the Sixers have taken a hit.
Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Philly Pretzel Factory. The official pretzel of the Philly sports fan.
97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia. More of the Mike Missinelli Show. Now.
On 97.5 The Fanatic.
Time for the final Twitter poll numbers at 5:30 on the Mike Missinelli Show. Final Twitter poll numbers brought to you by Powered by Moyer.com. Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown, PA, can service all your outdoor power equipment needs, including maintenance on your mower. Just go to PoweredByMoyer.com. Connor Thomas with us today. Connor, what the final numbers say?
Thanks, Mike. Our final numbers, again, our poll, is the state of Philadelphia sports right now worthy of what a market and fan base like Philly deserves? Nice round numbers on this one. 80% of our responders saying no, we deserve better. 20% saying yes, the teams have upside.
All right. Thank you very much. My buddy Barry sent me some choices, this or that.
Okay, what do we got?
Let's go down the list here. Air guitar or air drums?
Whew.
What do you favor?
Wow. Air guitar, because drums, I'm a drum on the steering wheel guy, but I feel like drums making contact with something is better. Even if it's not a drum, the air guitar is better.
Because I play the air drums all the time in my car.
Really? But you don't hit the steering wheel?
No. I got a console. Yeah, I'm a big man. I love the air drum, electric drum sound. And when I hit my thumbs on the console in the middle between the two seats, it sounds exactly like the electric drum sound.
Okay.
So I got it going good.
But does
it's
that
got
count?
Like a hollow thing in there.
Does it count as air drums, though, because you're
hitting
something?
That's an air drum. Well, I guess, no, you're right. Maybe it doesn't count as
air drum. That's why I'm saying air guitar greater than
air
drums.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. All right, toast or English muffin?
Toast.
Really?
Yeah. I don't love the English muffin.
Plain white bread toast over an English muffin?
Yeah, I'm good with that. A little butter on there.
Dude, you know what you are? You're like a popover that's not finished in the oven.
What are you hearing?
You're like something baked that's not like it's not quite baked fully yet.
I don't know.
Like a pretzel that you put in and you only cooked it for 10 minutes when you have to cook it for 18. That's what you are.
Oh, come on.
White or dark meat?
White.
Pop tarts cold or pop tarts toasted?
Cold.
Crunchy or smooth peanut butter?
Oh, smooth.
I'm a smooth man, too. I don't get the crunchy people.
Why do you need more peanuts in your peanut butter?
I do not get it.
Just eat a peanut if you want the crunch.
Jelly or jam?
Jelly.
Oh, I'm a jamsman.
Nah.
Yeah, jam is like...
No, I'm not really either.
Yeah, jelly's fake.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I'm not
jam
really.
Jam is. You're not really either? What do you put on peanut butter jelly sandwich?
I don't do peanut butter jelly sandwiches. I do ham and cheese.
You don't do peanut ever.
I do ham and cheese.
You don't do peanut butter jelly sandwich ever.
No, what I'll do is I'll do the rice cakes and I'll just put peanut butter on them. That's my alternative.
Rice cakes?
To that.
You're 25 years old. You're eating rice cakes?
Yes, sir. Good rice cakes.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Popcorn flavored Quaker rice cakes. It's only 30 calories. Else you stay in shape.
You're worried about your calories at your age?
Yeah, Mike, it's Memorial Day weekend. Go down
rice
the shore.
Cakes.
Yes,
you're
sir.
25 years old, you're eating rice cakes like somebody has to take their teeth out.
Yeah, if I want something a little sweeter, some tapioca pudding, it's good stuff.
Passenger or driver?
Driver, always.
Me too.
Passenger freaks me out.
And finally, beach or mountains?
Beach.
All right. Go back to the phones. You flabbergast me. Dave in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Mikey Miss.
What's going on, Dave?
man, I'm disappointed. You guys said, let's go today from Center City.
You weren't there.
The line went dead.
The line went dead. That was an omen.
I called.
You weren't ready for your wisdom.
I called back quickly, and Mike from Creekside spewing his idiocy. And I'm saying to myself, I'm never going to get back on again with Brian.
Well, you didn't get on with Brian. I know it's a dark day for you. You didn't get on with Brian for your Memorial Day weekend.
You know, first of all, who is Chris Sims? Shut your pie hole. He lost his starting job twice. Remember that three-headed monster at Tampa Bay? He lost his starting job to Brian Greasy. And then who was the third stiff? They was the third stringer. And then he took Sims' job. On a list of 40 quarterbacks back then, Chris Sims was 41st.
Well, he may have rated himself that, too. He's just trying to be honest. You know, you don't have to be a good quarterback to be in the business of rating quarterbacks.
Yeah. Hey, let's get to the foods.
Yeah.
Nothing better than well-done pork roll, but you're going to get mad. Yeah. A runny egg. Oof. On top of it.
Yeah.
I go in this order: French toast, waffles, and then pancakes. I could pass.
You see, you're an egg man. French toast dipped in an egg batter. I skeeve it.
Hey, do you like crepes at all?
No, it's eggy.
Oh, I got something. No. Hey, you're a well-rounded. Do you like tartare at all?
No.
Why? What's the?
I don't go tartare. I don't go sushi.
Why? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't need raw. I don't go raw.
Who's on
Food's
Monday?
Meant to be cooked. What?
Yeah. Who's on Monday? Anyone from the 18?
No. No, we're all off Monday.
All right. Have a good holiday.
All right,
buddy.
You got it. Steve, Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello?
Hello, Steve.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing?
What was I about to say? Real quick on the rate. You ever see Unlawful Entry?
No.
Yeah, it's a good one. It was Ray Liotta. He played a bad cop, like a dirty cop.
Oh, he did?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Kurt Russell was like the husband. Yeah, it was a good movie, yeah. So
Unlawful Entry. A burglar holds a knife to Karen's throat while the husband does nothing. The couple ends up befriending the cop.
Yeah, and he's like,
I have seen that. Yes, yeah. I have seen that movie.
Good movie.
Yeah, Kurt Russell. Madeline Stowe is in it.
Right.
Yes.
She was pretty hot back then.
Yes, she was back in her day.
Yeah. What else?
Officer Pete Davis was his name.
Pete, was it Davis?
Yeah, Pete Davis, yes.
And his partner was the black dude from Spencer for Hire. Big muscular black dude. That was his partner.
Okay.
I can't think of his name.
Okay.
I can't think of his name.
Yeah, I know. I can picture his face. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, you're a real
Yeah. Dude, it was Ryan. His name's Roger Mosley.
Roger Mosley.
Yes.
Yeah, Roger
yes.
Mosley. Something like yep. that. Yeah. Good movie. Hold on. As far as the Sixers are concerned, I agree with you. We need Harden to come back as the reinvented Harden. Now, I don't know whether if it's going to be the Harden from Houston or like.
Well, it's probably not going to be a Harden from Houston. But it's got to be a better Harden who knocks down shots. He's a little more versatile in shooting the basketball, including with a catch and shoot.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Like, he has no mid-range game anymore. He either drives or he takes a step back three. He has no mid-range.
You're right. Now, he's got to be able to get to the basket. That's part of the reinvention. He's got to increase his quickness to be able to get to the basket. Yet. If he can't, then he's got to perfect a stop-pop.
A stop-and-pop.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he used to be able to get to the basket.
Yeah, he did. He's a step slower, which means that's why I'll give him the benefit of that with the legs, that they weren't 100% there.
You think he can reinvent himself like the way Chris Paul did?
I think he has to. I think it's possible. Like, you get on a physical regimen, you got to come in, you got to like forget about your social life, totally reinvent yourself here.
Lead a wings and
right, and I said this, and Tyrone didn't agree. Trim the beard. Forget the beard now. This beard nonsense. Keep the beard, but then you don't have to have the Smith brother beard.
I think that's a part of his brand. I don't know.
Forget his brand. His brand has to be said. That's my point. The brand now has to be secondary to the ability. I don't care. I don't care a crap about his brand anymore.
That's true. Yeah, you got to play ball. Yeah, you got to ball out.
Exactly.
I feel you.
That's part of reinvent yourself. Where you care less about your damn brand and care more about you as a basketball player.
He can still play with a beard. Come on.
I'm telling you, I would reinvent myself completely. You know, guys, like how like Bryce Harper used to have the long hair, reinvent himself with the crew cut.
Yeah,
like come with, it gives you a fresh perspective somehow.
Okay, I mean, I get that. I don't
the brand.
That.
I'm tired of the brand. The brand doesn't work anymore.
Brand makes some money.
Well, the brand's tired now. What's going to make him money? The brand's still going to make him money if he's not a great player?
Nah, but he's probably got enough.
Let's go to Paul Coatesville. Paul, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Paul.
Hey, I'm calling about the Phillies.
Yes, sir. Do me a favor. You got to take that radio off or whatever you got in the background.
Okay, I'm gonna switch it.
Yeah, okay.
They got to win this series with the Mets. Yeah. And then here's an idea. Anybody who is batting 300 or 250 is okay. Anybody less than
brother, I got to stop you. I'm hearing it in the background. It's really distracting. You got to turn the sound completely off so I can focus on your point.
All right, let me turn the whole thing off completely.
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Hold on a sec.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have time to hold. Dave in Upper Darby, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, Mikey, how you doing?
What's up, Dave? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hope you have a strong recovery. What did they say? You were in the cast for a while, then you put you in a walking boot?
8 weeks in the cast.
Eight weeks in the cast. Wow.
Yeah.
And then you go into a walking boot.
Probably.
Yeah. I've had 14 operations on my feet. Like I told you, I'm the one that has the 6 implants.
Oh, yes. That's right.
These guys are bitching about... You know, knees and stuff.
Yeah.
I had my shoulder, 2 knees, and a back plate done. I mean, a hip done in 14 months.
It's no good, man. I just had 2 back-to-back, and I felt it.
Yeah. And then I just got the word Monday that I'm going to have carpal tunnel surgery and ulnar release surgery on my elbow.
Jesus, dude.
June 8th.
Is it worth it at this point?
What's that?
Another surgery? Is it worth it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I wanted to tell you guys, I just saw Top Gun.
You just saw it? The new one?
The new one, yeah. Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, and how did you enjoy it?
It was absolutely blew me away. If you like Top Gun, this one. If you don't like Top Gun, you're not going to like this one. But what the coolest part is that they actually have Val Kilmer as Iceman.
God, he's in bad shape right now.
Yeah, so him and Maverick finally meet face to face, and he's got the big ascot around his neck. So when Maverick asks him a question, he types in what he's going to say.
Oh my God, that's got to be sad.
That's tough.
I watched his. He did a documentary on himself. It's called Val.
Yeah.
I think it's on Prime. And it was really sad. But he seems to be okay with it.
Yeah. Well, apparently Tom Cruise like lobbied for him to have to be in this
movie. Oh, really?
Because they got so tight and they have that relationship from doing the first one and their career together. So he's like, even if it's short, just like...
I don't know. Is there anybody on Earth who doesn't like the first Top Gun? Like, it's almost an impossible movie not to like.
Now, Dylan McKinnon, who's back there floating for us, got into it with Tyrone when you were off, saying it was an overrated 80s movie. So, there are people out there who don't really agree with it, but Dylan's on an island.
It's wildly entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no downside.
It's not a Godfather masterpiece, but it's entertaining. How could you not like that movie?
It's just straight up good movie.
All right, let's take a break. We'll wrap it up the week with Sound Off after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. It's time for you to sound off. Sound off.
You gotta be faithing me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number 5 will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Bro,
brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
Oh, it's time for Sound Off. 610-771-9705 is how you get in. It's good to get it off your chest. If you got something to say, hit us up on that line. Leave a message. We assemble all the messages and put together a little package we call Sound Off. Let's see what we have today.
Yeah, I saw what happened in Atlanta, and so I'm still on board with Joe Girardi for now. And I know Dave Dombrowski is, so what's the point? But at the same time, you know, I just think they got to get medieval on the Mets. Or I don't see them doing anything after that. If they don't get medieval on the Mets, forget it. Forget
it. Medieval. I know Dombrowski is thinking the same thing you think he's thinking. He might be thinking of making a change. If they don't get through this era, like this of these 12 games, you know, if they go 4-8, you know, I think he might make a move.
So I can't help but notice with this Miami-Boston series, Jimmy Butler coming up small in the clutch. Tobias Harris over you? Yeah, that's right, buddy.
Oh, sir, really? After watching what Jimmy Butler's done in the playoffs, you're going to go back to that?
Yeah, come on, man. He's dropping 40 pieces. Tobias Harris sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
Somebody was saying Pete McCann was a good manager, but Mike thought it was crazy. McCann in 2015 went 15-3 for a stretch in July. I don't know if Mike realized that. That's why he's going nuts about it, because he maximized the talent. And I don't know why they got rid of him.
What?
Listen, I've got nothing to say about Pete McCann. No, seriously, this is what we're doing.
Hey, Connor, I'm blown away. I have no sense of smell. That is, without a doubt, the greatest blessing and the worst curse simultaneously, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I can't smell. I like it because I've been in locker rooms my whole life and everything, growing up playing sports, having a younger brother who, yeah, the passing gas and everything. Like, yeah, no worries about any of that.
Let me just look. Pete McCann was here in 2015. His record was 37-51. They overachieved. What? The next year, they were 71-91. And in 2017, 66-96. What are we talking about here? He maximized what?
I have no idea. That dude must have been related to Pete McCann.
God.
Mike, you know, I think it's just time to move on from Joe Girardi. Now they're going to be on a losing streak because after this Braves series, they got to then go play New York. I just don't see any enthusiasm from this team for this manager. He mismanaged about 5 or 6 games so far this year. It's just time to move on.
Well, it's not time to move on until you play these 12 games. And we'll see how they do because they got a chance maybe to exceed. You know? They got 9-3.
Yeah, then they're looking fine.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
All right, let's close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your Sound Off gets on.
See you later. All right, that'll close it down for this week. Again, have a great Memorial Day weekend. Be safe out there, but always remember what Memorial Day represents for all the people that serve this country. So it's a memorial to them. Connor, nice job. Thanks for sitting in today.
Thanks, Mike. Pleasure to be here.
We'll have everybody have a great weekend. Stay tuned. And then next on 97.5, the Fanatic, the Draft Line Show, and then on NBC Sports Philly. Stay tuned for Birds Huddle. Have a great weekend, everybody. Again, be safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.